Thank you. Go ahead and call this meeting to order. It's 6:10 for the Finance, Audit, Facilities, and Planning Committee. Our chair, Sergio Coronado, is running a little late, so he had me go ahead and start the meeting, and he'll be joining us a little later. Go ahead.
Mr. Adrian Medina?
Here.
Ms. Barros Charles?
Here.
All committee members are present.
All right. Next item.
Item 2A, Facilities and Transportation, presented to Mr. Padilla and Mr. Goitia. Item 1, roundtable discussion. Item 8, bond project report and discussion.
Are we going to just take all of these at once?
Do that.
Go ahead and read them all in, yeah, if you can.
Item B, Westside Drive property hanging request. Item C, CTE agricultural farm project. Item D, CES track replacement. Item E, Johnson Controls change order request. Item F, discussion regarding potential purchase of property. And item G, CBAC discussion of possible recommendations.
Thank you. I thought we were going to do something about that. No? How are you guys doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Sorry for my tardiness today.
We were talking to Mr. Padilla.
That was me tapping on the windows.
Okay. He was grilling.
Yeah? I don't know about grilling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact,
really? Wow. I feel good. Okay, cool. Go ahead. Make sure we get everything in order. Thank you. You're up first, right? How you doing? The holidays, come on.
No.
It's crazy.
No.
It is bad, I will say.
It's really crazy.
Yeah, and I apologize. I know I shoved something down.
What's that? Which one?
Just trying to get that on there. At least so we start discussing, you know, but I know that everything else is over there. So.
This one I'm going to give you on Thursday. Packet.
Okay.
You're going to have more.
Additional property.
Yeah.
You don't want to manage any more facilities, do you?
There you go.
You're good, right?
Tapped out.
Not anymore. No more.
Huh? Oh, the little, on the back?
Yes.
The road.
It's not. It's a old drainage ditch. But we have our water and our sewer on that side.
Is that our water utility?
It's not the water utility. The district one has one. This is from Mrs. Rowe.
Okay.
Hi. But you got no water.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This is for you. The rest of the board will have it on Thursday's packet.
Okay.
Are you saying congratulations, Paul?
I got my MBA.
That's no big deal. No, why don't you? Oh, did you get a
administration?
Marketing?
I'm sorry.
It is. Contemplating on going to get my USC one, but I can get the MBA there, or to get here now that it's about to go. It's amazing. I'd actually suggest my daughter going to UTEP. Go figure.
we have the contact first.
You got a bond project first.
Yeah, but after that, it's going to be. Yeah.
We can put them first. No. Yeah. You want Baines first?
Yeah, we have Baines. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get them out of the way. What do you think, Lori?
What?
We'll just put the contractors ahead.
No? They can wait all night. That's great.
I think they're already in there, though. Hagen request? What does he request?
Oh, it's a joke.
Really?
Thank you very much for all of this stuff you're doing, please.
No, we just got it.
Thank you.
Something digestible.
Thank you.
So sad, that trip.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Goethe.
Yes. Good evening. I want to start with the. I would like to give a quick update on all the small projects we are having in our progress pictures because they're all pretty much close out. We've gone to kind of to your middle school and the pre-K after that. We have North Starley College High School, which we're going to present the updated estimate tonight. This is the summary, the budget analysis. You'll see that we have 19.4% spent up to date. For Aldrete Middle School, we're also presenting the updated estimate tonight. We have 11.1% spent up to date, which includes professional fees, the architect, and some self-cost. Surveying, soil testing. County Ohio. Do you have any questions?
No, no.
I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
When you go back one more slide, please.
Yes, ma'am.
We got a color picture of that, and it was like lemon yellow.
Oh, that rendering?
Yeah.
We do have a picture. Jerry, the architect gave us a picture. I don't remember the colors of the
side. Well, it was absolutely unacceptable. It didn't match anything, so I'm hoping that it was like lemon yellow.
Okay.
Really, maybe lemon meringue pie yellow.
You were hoping that it was?
No, it was not yellow.
That it's not a lemon.
That
it's not a lemon, that it would fit in with the rest of the school, please.
We'll look into the color. It's a tilt wall. It's painted probably some elastomeric paint on the
this
tilt
is,
wall.
I thought they probably just put a rendering, but if we don't say something now, next year we're going, gee, why do we have the lemon?
During the construction, we'll receive product samples, and those samples, a part of that is paint and
good.
Whatnot.
Thank
so
you.
We'll get those finishes in the architect not to approve them, and we'll look at them and we'll make sure that that's not lemon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yes.
That was the only question. Thank you.
Thanks.
Under construction, we have Bill Childress, which we're pretty much closing out. The contractor has submitted the closeout documents to the architect that are under review. The cost analysis up to date, 67% spent from the original budget. You'll see that we have two bond projects committed, number 2126, irrigation system, which was the soccer field and paid the campus.
When do you expect that one to be final closeout from the architect?
We might be closing those out in probably January, you know, Gilda?
They have the binding facts, so they have
them. Yeah. We had some issues on other campuses, but they're all working at the same time.
Okay.
Because it's one contract.
So by January projects. Will be?
But yeah, probably okay. By January they're all going to be done. Canotillo Elementary School, we have a punch list. We have a couple items still pending there. ADA compliance of route, accessible route, and outside perimeter of the campus. The updated cost analysis, you'll see that we have 275% spend up to date because we had an original budget of $398,000. And we spent 1.09.
Just a little lower budget.
For the Anadarm port, the contractor, it's redoing one of the structures because we found a little bit of mistake there.
Oh, really?
They're redoing that. After closing out the projects, we're also going to do an analysis to see if we're going to bring money back to do the soccer field and probably some work on the basketball courts.
We are with that item there. There's some potential, not savings, but some additional extra funds that would be used to complete the soccer fields there at Deanna Davenport, along with the potential of doing some work at the basketball courts. We are getting with the principal along with administration to vote and understand what would be the best use of the remaining funds so that we all have an input, not just Edgar and I.
Mr. Padilla, you and I and Edgar were all at the library there the other day, and I brought to your attention that in the library we still had old registers for the air conditioners. It would be very appropriate if those were changed out and made new. It really Would it help the look?
We will add this to the list of items that we all take a look at and
Thank
see if
you.
We can have that price. The work that we did talk about, mm-hmm. painting the walls and
yes.
Taking down on that wall and doing some other work, that'll be done over the winter break. That's already scheduled to be done.
Great. Thank you.
We're also scheduling the air quality contractor to go out there this week.
Nice.
For the
indoor air quality testing.
For the mold testing.
And will you have them test close by that wood wall particularly, or maybe even
inside,
dig around in it? Or?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to have Arlene there, our bond project superintendent,
oh,
there
good.
While they're testing, so that she's instructing as well as visually watching.
Thank you. And the people in the library will tell their story to those people, and they'll come at the right time?
Yes, ma'am. The work, the indoor air quality testing has to be done during normal hours, just as if people were walking
yeah,
around.
Yeah, good.
So it's not going to be done during the break. It'll be done this week.
Okay, thank you.
Garcia Elementary School, we had the punch list like 2 weeks ago. We're working on the closeout documents. Again, the contractor submitted those to the architect. We're going to write those back. The updated cost analysis, you'll see that the original budget was $80,000, and we just had one bond project, which was the soccer field. Jose Amian Elementary, we don't have any pending items there. We just have the closeout documents as well. You'll see there that we spent, the percentage, it was 203% with the original budget of $88,000 and spent $180,000. We had the fence, which was not committed, that was done during this bond. We have soft costs and the architect as well. Kind of CEO Middle School, which is one of those that is still in progress. We have the addition projected date to finish will be December, end of December. The contractor is having a walkthrough this week by themselves, and then after that they're going to schedule a walkthrough with the architect and ourselves. One of the pending items is just the IT conduit. You'll see there are some pictures of the interior of the building. Ceiling have projector mounts. You'll see the facade on your lower left corner. The tack boards and everything has been installed. The cost analysis, you'll see that the original budget was $1.3 million and we spent $2.2. One of the reasons is because the building addition was never committed to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Pre-K to 8, we have 100% on the earthwork, and as you know, we're going to present the amendment number 3 tonight, so we can proceed with the plumbing and the structural and concrete work. You'll see there are pictures of our retaining wall, rock wall, and they're close to the final weight on the pads as well. This is the updated cost analysis. We have 23.4% so far, with the considering a budget of $16 million, which was the original budget. The 3.8 is just for the pre-K. It's not included. It's not included the amendment or anything. Canotillo High School, Johnson Control Phase 2. Shouldn't say Canotillo High School. Those are all the campuses. You'll see that, and this is not the updated the. Scorecard. Tony, you want to give us an update on that? I know that we're pretty much closing out all of them.
We walked half the schools today, and we're walking the rest with Arlene, so that will wrap up our punch list that the third-party consultants. Punch list, we'll have that wrapped up. Mechanical was done last week. And
we had our third-party review came out here, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
And they spent 2 days walking the projects, inspecting the curves, inspecting the size of the units, the condensation lines. They were opening ceilings to check the duct, the welding, and everything.
Nice.
You know, we had two units had heat strips in the wrong place, and we swapped those Saturday. Mm-hmm. We put those units in the right places. So we've got everything done. They're doing a little bit of graphics. They're finishing up the graphics on the controls on the medicines piece, but all the mechanical, electrical, everything's done. And by tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday, by Wednesday at the latest, everything will be done. Just Arlene finds anything tomorrow, which is all
done. And we're working on final details like going over the medicines and some tricks on the software. JCI is teaching us how to use it. They're meeting with our main supervisor to go over that as well. So we're taking care of the set points, the temperatures and everything.
And what was that, Edgar, 4 months ahead of schedule? Is that right? Did we have a March date?
Yeah, I would like, we're going to present the grant chart, showing the updated schedule on your project, so we can all know how ahead you went out on the project. And that's open. Are there any questions?
No.
We also, CPAC requested to include on the last of the presentation the canceled projects. So what we're going to do, this is just going to be a template. I mean, this is going to be a way that we're going to do it. As you know, we have facilities and admin canceled. And you'll see at the end a couple slides.
So they canceled or postponed?
Well, they were postponed. You'll see the spreadsheets of the reason being and everything. So it can be there for the public. And we're going to update the website as well.
When do you think that'll take place?
For the website?
For the website, yeah.
I just asked Mr. Gustavo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet with Jerry. Mm-hmm. Probably by the end of this week will be done. Okay. All the pending PowerPoint presentations will be uploaded.
So will that be in our Thursday packet? The canceled projects, the list of them?
Thursday, yes.
It's okay if it's not. That means they're canceled.
Yeah, we'll just now, Ben, want to move to the next item, Dominic?
Next item is the West Side Drive property.
You're talking about my next item, the next agenda.
Moving on to B, which is West Side Drive property Hagen request. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. As you know, this next agenda item was regarding the property that the district has just recently purchased on the corner of close to the corner of Borderland and West Side Drive. There's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bill Hagen with Rocky Mountain Mortgage. It is currently developing the property on the corner of Borderland and West Side Drive. He confronted the district regarding some improvements to the property that he's currently developing, and requested our input whether or not the district would agree to the request that he's made. The first one is a payment from CISD for 50% of the contribution of the rock wall to soon divide CISD property and the Hagen property. And for that item, I'll pull up the...
You're talking about the north side of their property?
Yes, sir.
South side of ours?
And I'll pull up the image here.
He wants us to help put a rock wall, 50%.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that's the property here. Is the undeveloped land to the north is the mm-hmm. property we've just purchased. The red line indicates the rock wall that was is.
And that home right there is still.
It's there. It's still there. That home is still there. And
so that little L shaped is really what we own.
Right. Yes, sir. That was one request. The second one was the approval of the easement from CISD for the rerouting of the current above-ground electrical power lines to be relocated underground at the expense of Mr. Hagen, and this is...
Really? Electrical lines? Are we going to talk electrical?
So...
What happened to his easement? Everyone gets one when they... But why would he want us to give up our acreage and not use his?
His justification was that not his justification. Let me restate that. My understanding of that is that having an underground easement on property that he will sell will devalue that property. That's my opinion. So
you should go talk to the people where I live.
So that's that,
oh, God.
That item there. And that blue, that this is west. This area here is north. Mm-hmm. This is east, and that's south. And
it's the same. It's the same property where he wants to not only put a rock wall.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Same.
So he's creating an alleyway essentially, right? Rock wall, and then the easement to provide that underground.
Right.
So an alleyway behind it.
Right.
Really?
The next item is C, is CISD's installation of a pedestrian access from Hagen property to the Garcia Elementary School. That item there is regarding the potential of CISD running some type of pedestrian access. The yellow line, or down below the yellow line, just south of it, is an indication of where a future drive will be installed. Part of that property, there'll be a drive that kind of just dead ends. There'll be some barricades that show, you know, no road continuing. And there was a request on his behalf that a pathway be installed on our property to run to the school across that area. That was one of the requests as well. And then the last request here, so this is the property that's being developed to the south.
Can you go back to the document that he sent?
The what?
The document.
The one
that was the letter. That one right there. That left one.
This one here?
Yeah. Show us on the map exactly what he's talking about. What exactly is he saying?
So currently there's an easement been granted to the owner of the tract on tract 9B.
Which the homeowner back
that
there.
That homeowner, yes. Here. There's been an easement granted to that person.
For access.
For access, mm-hmm. Through the canal that's here.
Mm-hmm.
This canal currently runs in...
Is that a canal?
In an offset. This is...
That canal on Long West Side Drive.
Right.
But not the blue or the green.
Not the blue, no.
That's a road, right?
That's a road that's existing.
With power lines.
Right. And the request was that the district eliminate that easement and only allow the green portion to remain, so that property owner would have to access through this road here and drive on to that area.
We can't take away an easement that's been provided by the property owner that sold it to us, correct?
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right, Ella?
The last issue with this is that there is a culvert that will potentially be transferred over to Cantina Pena School District.
So you can create a bridge?
Right, that bridge is already there. There's an existing a lease agreement with the district, the water district, for that, and we are in the process of attempting to transfer that over to the district to have for the next 25 years. So we're in the process of making that happen.
So that access will be ours as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be. If
that access that's granted to the homeowner will also be ours?
Right, yes, okay. if the water district approves it. And so we're in the process of doing that. So those are those items.
That's interesting. I can't really make a recommendation. I said we take this to the full board?
No. I don't recommend it to the board. Any of us.
We'll recommend that it doesn't go, essentially. So it doesn't go forward at all? Yeah. He's a developer. He's got to eat the cost of that.
Okay.
Wants us to pay for a rock wall. That's silly.
And take away the poor guy's road to get into his house.
We get sued, wouldn't we? We get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Thank you. All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That sidewalk in the government district is
fine. Next item is a CTE agricultural barn project.
This item, as you know, is a request for the approval of a construction of a barn for the CTE program. That property is currently the property that the barn should be built adjacent to. Let me show that to you. Is currently here at Jose Damian Elementary. The thought would be that we would install or construct a barn on this property just north of the property that we own here on the. Close to the corner of Strahan and Borderland for using CTE funds. Mrs. Massey is here, I believe. And would you like to say anything about this? I've shown them this. I'll be showing also the estimate just to give them an idea of what the cost will be. Do you have any input? We've met on several occasions. We've discussed the scope of work. We've discussed exactly what they're wanting.
Is this going to house the vehicles?
It'll house the tractor for sure.
Tractor. Is it only going to house the tractor at this time, or?
No, sir. It will house the new John Deere tractor. It will house the implements.
Okay.
To go with that, it also will house to one side of the structure. It has an extension of the roof, if you will, to cover the alfalfa once it's baled.
Nice.
Nice.
So it's we also have asked that restroom facilities be placed in it.
Wow.
So that we could use it for a classroom if we want to. So the intent is to have a structure that is becoming to the neighborhood. We realize that it is within a neighborhood. So the structure is a prefab Mueller metal structure, which Mr. Padilla will talk with you about. But something I think that the district would definitely be proud of, something that our students could use for classroom purposes should we want to do that.
And the building itself, so it's only going to house the agricultural stuff. This won't house the new vehicles like the Suburbans or the trucks, anything like that.
Sir, at one point I asked that question, but that is not the intent.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, we've always wanted to get some security for those vehicles, so this is just going to take care of a couple of that.
The Suburban is housed at transportation.
Okay.
We keep the Trevise here because we drive it quite often, and the van is here because Chef Simpson uses it often.
Awesome.
Tonight's agenda item was really about the approval of the location of the barn. We still have some work to do on our end, of course.
Got access off of that easement? Next to it? We're not going through the school?
We would not be going. Mr. Gill and Mrs. Massey would prefer to go south of this property, so utilizing the property, the farmland to the south to access in and out. There would potentially be a second access, which would be through this area. This would be the second way of egress, but not the priority, not the main way of entering and exiting. The main area would be through this front end here. The thought was that we would put this barn on the Jose Damian property. In case we were to sell the property, we would still remain with the barn. We've spoken with the principal. The principal is okay with that idea. We've shown her exactly what we're showing you today, and she had no issue with it. So we've done that. We've asked that question. A little further, I want to show you here.
Okay.
So,
We're okay with it. What's the cost of this?
We wanted to show you there's a different way we estimate these days. This is not how it was done back in the past, where there's a line item and a dollar amount, which is a full-blown estimate as to what it costs. So we've done some due diligence, and we're roughly estimating currently that dollar amount would cost for that barn. But that's just a conceptual estimate.
And that's with the restrooms?
That's with the restrooms, okay. And this is just a big conceptual number at this time. There's still some design that needs to happen.
Any contingency, above?
There is a contingency here of 3%.
3%.
Great.
Or, I'm sorry, 8% of contingency.
Okay, even better.
So we can always refer back to this estimate and see where we went over or under.
This is all CTE funds.
And this is all CTE funds.
No, it won't be all CTE funds, and that's what I wanted to mention. Because of the extent and of the project as it is now, it's not just
it's not just the shed.
The building itself, CTE will fund. Everything else will be indirect costs that we have to consider two things. If we remove it or take it out of the CTE budget and put, to finish the construction, it's going to decrease the amount that's allotted for the maximum entitlement that we have to allocate for the CTE program.
Okay.
So, looking at this, it's about $150,000 that we would take away from the CTE budget and put it into a local account. Well, now we will be facing the possibility of not meeting our required expenditure by doing so, unless we find additional funding to cover the to finish the project.
Mm-hmm.
But a building with restrooms is doable as long as it's. I think there's a lot of the architect fees, and those items are the ones that. We were discussed at the meeting that was held last week when Anna attended to instruct or give the guidance as far as CTE will fund the actual building just like it would fund the shelter for the vehicles, a garage or a shed of some type. But once you start adding the additional roadways and things of that is where we end up having to consider local funds for the expense.
How much in local funds? You're saying the difference of 150 and 223? About 75,000?
Well, no, actually, the total there is 223.
Yeah, but you're saying 150 for
50,000 was worth.
50,000.
Right.
For CTE.
The building itself.
The actual cost of the structure, the metal structure, is $32,250. That's this dollar amount here where the cursor is. That's an actual bid we received from Mueller for that.
Has anybody, I can't read what it says up there, and it, you don't have to make it any closer because I know you know the answer. A pad?
Yes, it's got a concrete.
It's all there, concrete slab, gravel and access road, floating excavation back.
A raised pad because Damian irrigates?
Yes, no. So the location of this area, yes, it would be including not only that, but their surveying and the soils testing. So surveying in order to make sure that it meets code as far as the 100-year flood plain or any of that, you know, goes into that. And then surveying and the soil testing also to make sure that it's built on adequate
six-inch concrete curbs.
Okay. And, but yes, that does has new concrete slab,
footing
excavation and backfill, soil compaction testing.
I'm great.
Great.
No we work. Recommend that to the full board.
Same here. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, the CES track replacement. Who's on first?
Okay, so this item, as you know, previously there was a construction company that was hired to complete the scope of work.
Is this F&B?
Yes, it is. This scope of work was not completed adequately to the district's and the architect's standards. And also the contractor left the scene, and it was the district's decision to move forward with utilizing the remaining funds of this contractor to go out and redo this track. This track needed to be completed in order to meet an OCR complaint, an Office of Civil Rights complaint that was issued to the district back a couple of years ago. So it's been an issue that's been around for a while. This OCR response letter, there was a response that was due to the OCR this on the 6th of December that was submitted to them, and we're waiting to hear back from them. They had indicated that the track needed to be put down, and that was put down, and it currently, to my understanding, does meet the intent of the ADA, so it is adequate the way it is as far as ADA standards. However, the construction of that track is not adequate, and we do anticipate it to fail. And will not last the test of time, so that was the intent.
How much is this going to put it over budget?
So the dollar amount that we have in that account is roughly $27,000
left over for this particular project.
Right, and this came in at
35.
And right, and but I have to mention this 35 is this it's kind of been rushed to get into the agenda item. There's been a. In our review of the proposal, making sure it's adequate, we've interviewed the contractor. We brought him in, made sure that he was on page with what we're talking about. We qualified him with a AIA subcontractor evaluation form, and we checked references. Those all checked out. The one thing that didn't check out was temporary fencing of that area. So that's going to raise this 35 to maybe $38,000,
$39,000. Will you get an estimate by tomorrow?
We can.
Probably?
Yes, probably so. Yes,
we can. You can put it in. You okay,
Mr.
recommend?
Yes, ma'am. Let me ask you, if there were no children on the school grounds when they did this work, do you still have to put the fence up? Like if we did it at spring break at, you know, a time when there weren't children?
The answer would be probably not. You would not need. It would be a liability not to have it there. There's a
okay,
lot of children
who
go play there. I wouldn't recommend
okay,
it.
Okay.
Just because people during the summertime or spring break, they'll go play soccer there. So I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
And so the documentation that followed this agenda item was really just the proposal that was submitted to us, the construction documents from Philo Wilkie and Gildas here. From Philo Wilkie to answer any questions you may have, along with a recommendation from Philo Wilkie for this work to be completed. And this is the references that we checked. It's a document that lists the references that were checked and everything checked out that they were good.
If you can just get us the updated estimate for tomorrow's meeting.
Yes, sir.
I'm okay recommending this?
Yes, I have one other question. Did you, you said you checked the references. Village of Vinton City Park, did you speak to them? Were they happy since they are our direct neighbor? Were they happy with the work done there?
I'm sorry.
References.
I'm looking on the references.
And what is the name of the person?
Village at Vinton City Park.
City of El Paso.
City of El Paso.
No.
No, ma'am, I don't.
It's on this list
we can
here?
On seat con.
Okay, I can definitely follow up with our superintendent and validate whether or not that reference is checked, and if not, have it checked tomorrow morning.
Great. Okay. I'm good with that. Thank you, Mr. Pitian.
You're welcome. I would like to mention on that last item, it is a little, there is a little concern here, and I want to make it known to you that we did do our due diligence to review the other four proposals that we received for this work, and those dollar amounts are considerably higher than what we have here. So that was through a wrench into the socket. We've got the low bidder here. We have qualified him. We have brought him in to interview him. We have the architect that signed off that this was, that they're on board with selecting this person. It's one of those things where what do you do next?
Is this not what happened to begin with?
It is, yes, ma'am. It
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
This work, we brought him in to discuss the work, exactly what they had in their scope. They described it to us in detail, and we were comfortable with what they explained to us. We had estimated it to be roughly that amount. Remember, we had the construction about 27. Well, they came in 35, 39.
How much did the other people?
The other people came in 60 to all the way to $90,000. And it is our thought that they had completely replaced the entire track. This scope of work is simply scarifying or pulling up the old asphalt and then recompacting it back down, not bringing in anything new.
And is that best practice?
That was recommended of the architect and the engineers who completed this.
I think the difference is now we have somebody to watch them.
That's and really there will the be somebody watching
yes,
them?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So it's a tough spot to be in.
They are bonded. They are insured.
We will have all of that information, yes. We will have all of it.
Thank you.
I was with you, but I think we got the right people on.
I think you're right.
We got two other people. All right. Next item. Johnson Controls change order requests.
So this item is a change order request for the total amount of $7,010.99. This is coming to the board today because there are several change orders that are surpassed the $10,000 limit that we have as part of regulation. And it is the administration's recommendation of the approval of the change order request from Johnson Controls in amounts of $7,010.99. And that is change orders 1 through 7.
And that total $7,010?
Yes, it does. There's some deducts and some additions there.
So why would you bring it if it's not over $10,000?
Because each individual line item could be over that $10,000 threshold. And currently, it's any change order over the amount of $10,000 needs to be brought.
Okay.
So it's kind of a... What do you want to see? We can prevent this from showing you, but
we're all good. Okay. Just wondering.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you take a look at those change orders?
I'm fine.
You're fine. Go ahead and approve those. Make a recommendation to the board. Following up, discussion regarding potential purchase of property, item F.
So this item here, it was my understanding that Mrs. Blaze had put this item on the agenda in order to discuss some issues that you all had. There was some documentation that I was able to obtain today regarding a potential purchase of property on the east side of the Lions property that we just purchased. It was the irrigation ditch to the right.
Yes, east. All the way to Borderland.
Right, yeah. Borderland all the way up north to like the property line mm-hmm. of Garcia Elementary. That information will be provided to you in the board packet this Thursday.
And that's the only piece of property we're going to be talking about? Is that
right now? Unless there was something else that I'm not familiar with. That's the only
thing. No, it's just that drain.
Yes, that's the only information I have off. Actually, I only had that item itself, that there was a discussion of property, and I had assumed that this is what we were talking about.
We're just bringing that forward to them. So.
And you'll have the information on it.
Okay.
And this is the information that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that'll give you the detailed rundown of exactly where we stand. And that also includes...
charges by inch.
That also includes the culvert there. We talked about it a little
yeah.
earlier. It gives
Good.
A little description of what we're doing to transfer that to us.
So will this be on... We will approve this and it goes forward to the full board, or it can't yet?
I'm not certain as to what the agenda item needed to be done. I think it's just to provide you with information.
Just information ahead of tomorrow's meeting.
Information only. There's not necessarily.
There is no action needed.
No action on it.
Not today.
Not today. This is conversation we're just having now regarding.
Are we going to see this tomorrow?
During the agenda item.
Is this on the agenda for tomorrow?
I don't think.
No. Okay. If we could just flesh it out, it doesn't have to be for tomorrow.
Okay.
Just flesh out as much detail and summarize it. I'm surprised we even talked about that little thing. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Already no action on that. Item G, CBAC discussion and possible recommendations.
Well, we're a little confused at this point because the previous meeting that we had discussed the Reyes project, which we thought that was going to be discussed tonight, and we also had discussed the high school shortfall. So we were prepared to make some recommendation on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my understanding as well, and I'm not certain as to why it's not on this agenda item, but I was
waiting for a special meeting December 2nd, so, you know, it's a little different. What sort of discussion are we supposed to have?
One second here.
Okay.
I'd like to pull up the information of what I forwarded.
Yes. We're done with the change orders, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it was on the email I sent to administration. The administration did not put it on the agenda item.
The race amendment, too.
I don't think that's on the agenda for tomorrow either.
Both of them were put on the email that I forwarded to administration. It did not make it to this agenda item.
So, is it on tomorrow's meeting agenda?
Well,
it's my understanding that the timeline is critical here because we need to move forward on this.
We don't have to. This is a committee. This is not a regular board meeting, so we could.
Yeah, Mr. Tracy, we just suspend the rules and we open the
agreed
floor up and talk.
All right. Okay. Give us a recommendation on those.
Well, I don't know if you do. You want to, Mr. Padilla? Do you want to make a small presentation on it?
Do you have any information?
Yes. Is Goitia in the room? He's probably trying to figure out what happened to the agenda items that I had on the list, and they're not there any longer. I apologize. They're not on there. So, if I could, I'd like to kind of show you here the next item. Well,
it's okay. Yeah, put it up on the screen.
The next item submitted to the committee was the Johnson Controls Reyes ESCO proposal and contract discussions.
That's why they stuck around. It wasn't just the change orders. I'm like, you guys are not here.
That's what we were directed to.
You're like, no.
So we've invited Johnson Controls here to be present to discuss the potential agreement of an ESCO type process for the Reyes School in order to continue with construction with the Reyes School. The plan would be to receive an extension of the existing performance contract with Johnson Controls in order to fund a major portion of the project, which would be mechanical, some surveillance cameras, some portions of the existing project, in order to free up those funds to complete the balance of the bond projects that we have designated that. We've also invited Mr. Benegas here with VMAC, who's been working to understand what's happening, and what I'd like to do is turn it over to Johnson Controls to give an introduction as to what's happening here.
Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. A little history, I guess, and as we kind of lead into this. As you know, the board actually issued a RFQ, Request for Qualifications for Energy Conservation, pursuant to the Texas Education Code 44901, and we always go back to that. Under that RFQ that was originally issued, Johnson Controls was selected to develop and deliver a phase one, which was a high school. And the way that we did that, of course, is we went in and identified the work that was necessary, created the design, went out and competitively procured the subcontractors and work to be delivered, and then brought back a contract. that was approved by the board, and that contract was delivered. Subsequently, the board selected us to deliver a energy-wide energy solution contract. So we, pursuant to that, delivered a phase two. Phase two was to, again, augment the bond process, the bonds that were available, the bond proceeds that were available. We again developed a design pursuant to the project development agreement that was adopted by the board. Again, competitively went out and got pricing for that project and brought back a contract that the board subsequently approved. You know, we're proud of the fact that we've had an opportunity to deliver a couple contracts here. We personally, as a company, believe that the only way that happens is that you have to have a quality design, deliver a cost-effective solution, and a quality implementation. We've done that in several instances. This isn't the only case that we've done that. The city of El Paso, for example, they are now in phase five. Just recently approved phase five in the city of El Paso for Johnson Controls under their original procurement to deliver a performance contract. The city of Fort Worth is another example where they delivered seven phases there. Going out or receiving approval this week for a phase two down in the Corpus Christi area. So, you know, we're proud of the fact as a company that, you know, we have these opportunities to deliver multiple phase projects. One of the things that we've been very cognizant of, and if you kind of go to the next page on the scope summary, is that, and we've had tremendous conversations, and we really appreciate the work of Paul Daniels and Associates. We appreciate the work of VMAP in developing what our scope should be, because it's very critical that when the delivery is done, that everything that is necessary for this building is delivered, whether it's done by VMAC or if you select us to do a phase three for part of it, that when at the end of the day, you have everything in that building that you need for that building to be complete. And we had a meeting today with Oscar and his staff going through this scope summary that you see before you. And so what we have proposed to pull out, and again, the reason that we're looking at doing this is to provide additional financing for the district to be able to meet the obligations of the bond, is to, you know, to deliver the things that we believe we have we're extremely qualified to do. The new chiller, the air handlers, all the piping associated with HVAC equipment, we have looked at pulling that scope out and delivering that. You know, as we've done, as you was discussed by Andrew, we've delivered the Metasys controls to all your facilities. And so we're looking at delivering the Metasys controls for the new Reyes facilities. Another part of the spec was for, as it related to the green, was that there was a SMARS component which allows for all of the reporting required by LEED. We at Johnson Controls have what we call our Panoptic solution, which is a software solution that meets that SMARS software specification along with providing the green kiosk that is specified there. Another item that we're looking at providing is the exterior lighting for the project. All the parking lot lighting, all the exterior lighting on the building. We are looking at providing that through the TOTA solution as it's demonstrated to the district. In addition to that, we're looking at providing the exterior cameras. That was not in the original spec, but we have added that to our spec to deliver the exterior cameras. Well, another thing that we've discussed for the specification is to deliver the exterior access locking systems. There are six doors currently that call for electronic access locks. Easy for me to say that use the card key entry. And so we are looking at delivering those through our spec. We are looking at delivering all the interior lighting. As you know, the specifications call for LED light fixtures. The architect has been very specific in that, and we are looking at delivering the specification for the architect's design of those fixtures. And the final item is looking at the fire and smoke panel. We are looking at delivering a BACnet compliant fire and smoke panel for the district. Some of the things that we also, because of this, we've outlined the things on the right that we're not including. And again, that was discussed today with VMAC, so that they understand what we are, what's in, and what's out. And I'll just run through that real quick. The electricity to the actual exterior poles, that would be their electrical contract. The bases for the poles, the exterior light poles to sit on, is in their contract. They understand that. The interior cameras and head-in are to be provided through the district. I think that is actually a district-provided item. The occupancy sensors and daylight harvesting sensors on light fixtures themselves are in the electrical bid spec. We're providing just the fixtures, but the electrical bid itself includes those items.
That harvesting is a solar?
No. Daylight harvesting is basically, has been put in by the architect. It lowers the light level as the exterior light comes in.
Okay.
And so you're daylight harvesting and lowering the interior, so utilizing the correct design to utilize the exterior lighting. Because there's a lot of exterior lighting, as you know. Mm-hmm. We're not delivering the PA system. We're not, that had been discussed, and we just want to make sure that everybody understands we're not picking it up. IT cabling infrastructure is not being delivered. There is a requirement in the specs that there be submetering. The spec is a little unclear as to exactly the number and the locations of those submeters, so we have not picked that up. Again, we have discussed that with VMAC to ensure that, you know, it's not missed, but just that it is not in our scope. You know, in our contract, what we always do is to define the scope in detail. When you see our contract, you have the traditional terms and conditions, and then you have a Schedule 1, which is all the scope of detail. And, you know, it tells you exactly what we're going to deliver to the site so that there's not any questions. Because under our contract methodology and under performance contracting, we can't come back with a change order from the scope that we're going to deliver. And so we define that scope very clearly. And unless the district was to come back, and it was the case in this change order, it was a district requested item that had to be done, we won't change what is to be delivered. And so we've gone through and have broken down for you, for each of the items I've outlined, that we're going to deliver, exactly what the sales price is and what the total is of all those items. And so that is detailed and broken down for you here on this schedule. And you can see the total there is right at $5,650,000 for all the items that we have in this schedule. The next page is, this is a financing mechanism. I mean, that's why, you know, we're at the table, is to deliver a financing to you. And so paramount to that is the cash flow, and you know, we've provided this to staff. Staff has just received this today, delivered it to Martha. She's, you know, so she hasn't had a lot of time to Mr. Geary to look at this at all. So this is pretty well cold turkey to staff today, and we'll make everybody aware of that. But what we've done in this is we've tried to structure a loan payment that is kind of backloaded. And from that, what we mean is that we've lowered the loan payments in the initial years and then raised those over the 15-year term. And in doing that, we were trying to meet the district's goal of reducing your M&O impact initially and allowing the values to grow, allowing you maybe the opportunity to obtain additional finance and pay this off. Whatever the goals of the district are, but we're trying to lower that to do that for you. And so that is why that structure is set up that way, is to be able to hopefully maybe make it a little bit more palatable from a funding standpoint for the district. We could obviously look at some different scenarios here if that was, you know, the mindset of the district. One of the things that we kind of did here was look at, you know, projected future value of construction based upon the delay of construction. You know, we just did this as a calculation. You can put whatever numbers in there, and your staff, or, you know, can look at this and make, you know, their determination. What we did was we took the current project cost that we're talking about, 5 and 6. I use the 7% inflation rate, and I do that just because based upon kind of what's going on in the marketplace here with all the construction that's fixing to kick off with the city, with the hospital. You know, as you know, as a trade, you know, it's the supply and demand. And as the supply of work, I mean, the demand for work and the supply of workers goes, you know, if that is more out of balance, then the inflation rate goes up. So I use the 7% inflation right? I said delayed 5 years, you know, what would be that future value in 5 years? Is that right? And basically that calculates out to about almost $8 million. And so just as a point of reference, just if you to do that. The next pages, again, are just kind of a deep, real quickly, you know, it gives you the detailed interior lighting, and we're going to do the interior lighting. I've kind of pretty well done that. The chiller we're going to deliver, as you see here. Interior lighting, the surveillance through TOGUS, that's being delivered there. The controls, as we talked about there, the medicine and then the panoptics. The fire, smoke, and access control, and those things. So if you kind of flip to the last page and wind this up, or talk briefly about financing, you know, again, just as a summary, the projected project budget is right at $5,650,000. As Joel put it,
come on, Joel.
It's exciting.
I'll give you the net present value.
I understand.
We have a guaranteed savings model under 44901. Change orders are done. The interest rate that we're proposing is 3.1%. You know, we have our track record of proven delivery of phase one and two. And, you know, it's a technology-delivered solution, panoptics, medicines, TOTUS lighting and cameras, our electronic car key access, our backpack fire alarm, and of course, our industry-leading door chillers, which is we're very proud of the efficiency of those. And so that's kind of a brief overview of what we're proposing. We also have delivered a financing option that is out there for the 3.1. We've been working with our lender to deliver a financing option at 3.1%, which we believe is a very competitive rate. Very proud of that rate, for 15 years fixed. It has a 12-month construction term in it, so at the end of 12 months, you would begin to make payments. There's two options there. One is if you want a 3.1% there's a premium you can pay off early. There's a higher interest rate of 3.2, but it has some upfront fees in it associated with that allows you to have an early payout. So you have two options on the financing. So
we base it off the 3.1, and it's very competitive. Again,
that's guaranteed through when?
Till the 16th. January 16th. And we were able to hold it. They were trying to get us to lock it down on Friday, and we held off. We were lucky. We still held it as of today to give you a little bit more time on the backside. But again, without the approval, the docs don't go forward. So it's like the chicken or the egg. So, and that's really the compelling event.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask, going back to 1A under the bond project report.
1A, which is bond project and discussion?
Yes.
Yep.
Could we hear something on the GMP on the small projects and the VMAC amendments on the Reyes campus?
Yes, we can. Particularly to the Reyes. Is there anything else for Johnson? Do you have any other questions?
No, thank you very much. We can't. We can only hear you.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We understand the presentation.
And when is this going to come back up to us?
So right now, it's administration's recommendation. We gave some time to be able to digest the information that was just delivered to us today. We'll be back in January with their proposal. And
hopefully that rate holds, guys.
To be able to review it all. Okay.
We have the January 16th. We have the January 16th.
The regular meeting.
But we can.
You want to call a special?
Yeah, but there's potential of calling a special board meeting in order to.
Maybe we recommend to the full board a special board meeting, or to the president that we need a special board meeting to do this.
Yes, ma'am.
In January.
Mm-hmm. Early on.
And just a recommendation based on that, Mr. Rolls, is we need approximately a week after approval so she can get the docs to still
secure it.
Yeah.
January 16th.
So right off the first of the year? Okay.
Because that then allows her enough time to prepare the docs and
deliver
them over to you.
All right.
That's it, January.
We come back the 6th. That's going to be tight.
And that was...
Again, did we do this in April?
Yeah.
This feels familiar. I don't know why.
It feels very familiar.
No, it's Or near your fault?
We get the plans, I think, with December 6th, and we have people, we have a whole team of engineers working there.
Oh, I'm sure you guys have been doing your due diligence. It's just, you know, nature of the game at this point. I think that's all for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, yes.
I'd like to interject something here. This project has been put out for bids on the mechanical side already. And then it was like re-evaluated and bid again for Johnson Controls. So my market is frustrated.
You went out for
bid a third time. I'm tired of looking at this kind of field school. And so if you want to do anything other than this option, we're probably delaying the budget at least 60 days.
Okay.
We would have to rebid it. And we're talking about a new year. We're talking about asking these same people and other people, which is now shrinking because of this delays in decision making. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
It'll be administration's, if I can interject, sir, it'll be administration's intent to follow up with our construction manager at RIS VMAC regarding the proposal that's been presented to us today in order to validate the numbers that were given to us to do our due diligence along with Oscar's help.
If we go this route, it's going to be a unique delivery system because we're going to have Johnson Controls with direct contact with the district, coordinated by me, and then you're going to have the kitchen equipment purchased by facilities coordinated by me. And you discussed that at length today. The hoods would be provided by JCI, but the equipment would be provided by the district. And Oscar would hope that he's got the right gas and electricity company and everything else. And then submissions would have to go through Carl Daniels back there, and questions would have to go through Carl Daniels. So we have to have a groundbreaking ground rules set up for our particular project so that things would have to go through whoever wants to
that
take
that like
role.
A cluster.
That's a definite cluster.
We've asked our legal counsel to weigh in their opinion as to how this agreement will go between Johnson Controls, the district, VMAC, the district, and whether or not there would be any direct link between VMAC and Johnson Controls if this were to go forward, in order to ensure that no harm would be done should someone not perform what they needed to, including the district delivering the kitchen equipment as an example, or should one of Johnson Controls' employees be injured on the job as an example. There's a lot there. We've asked our legal counsel to review it. We haven't heard back from them regarding that.
You know, and I think my only consideration, back to the special board meeting, but, you know, I don't want us to finance with them and still, oh, now we still have all that money left over. We can do more. Do you understand? It's not like a trade-off in robbing Peter to pay Paul. Paul still has to be paid. And if we free up funds by using their services, that doesn't mean those funds are freed up to luxuriate ourselves in something.
The intent would be that the funds used freed up by the financing option with Johnson Controls would be then used to turn around to deliver the projects that were promised to the taxpayers. That's the intent.
Thank you.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Okay.
All right.
So, Mr. Medina, what do you think? We make a recommendation for a special board meeting to the board is about all we can.
Can't really even do that.
Okay.
We'd have to talk about it at our next committee
maybe,
meeting.
Yeah. Maybe Ms. Gonzalez can.
On her meeting?
Here. We can't make recommendations on this one because it's not.
It's not here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Possibly administration can make that recommendation.
If you need a special meeting.
Yeah, we'll call.
Back to 1A on the bond project report. Is there anything on the GMPs on the small projects?
Yes, okay. There is. So next, I'd like to bring Baines to the table, Mr. Panahi, to discuss really the presentation that was delivered to us earlier last week, which is the presentation of the guaranteed maximum prices for Alderete the Middle School, Northwest Early College, and Canotillo High School. Those GMPs were delivered to us. We've had some opportunity to review them in and we've updated our estimates in order to provide you with some useful information as to what you're looking at. Mr. Panahi, I'll turn it over to you to kind of explain exactly what
really can't do anything what else. It's not on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything either. So
bond
agenda.
Project is all it can be. Bond okay. Project update. No, we can't do anything. We just listen.
Thank you.
Something's real bad with this agenda.
Previous discussion. Okay. Now, we did deliver these two, and we were in concert with Myers mm-hmm. on the school side. It's not like it's unfound territory, but
a little different in this.
And we work very close. I don't think, just from the outside looking in, I don't think it'd be that difficult. But again, we've done it in the past. It's not mm-hmm. something we're going to go reinvent a little.
If anything, I'd love to have had some sort of action today.
Yeah, and I think that we need to take note that there's a problem with this agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's not the first time we've had a problem with this agenda. So if we want tomorrow's meeting to go better, we need to make tonight's agenda fit.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It makes it really difficult.
And Mr. Panahi, I'll turn it to you to give a presentation as far as the guaranteed maximum prices for those three schools.
Good evening, board members, Mr. Superintendent, board committee, oversight committee members. I made a quick summary of our GMP and kind of give you an explanation and kind of give you an analysis. As last month, on November 19th, we bid out all three projects. We received 148 bids. So we approximately received about 50 bids per project, which we think that was pretty good bid activity, especially we were asking for a payment performance bond requirements in this, so we got qualified bids. Out of that, we made a record. We did our analysis comparing our final estimate, which we did, compared to what the bids received. And if you can see under savings per project, overall, we came lower about 9%. Our goal was 5%. We exceeded that by 9%. We think that it was a good time to bid the projects out. We got great bid participation. We got quality bids. We did meet with Dominic and Edgar and Jerry and Gilda with Dimensions, and we reviewed all the bids. We looked at any concerns of the bids that we did put in a recommendation to our GMP. And we came up with the final numbers, which you can see with our fees.
What I'd like to add, sir, Mr. Panahi, here is the estimate that you see here are some discussions we had during our meeting in order to lessen the deficit overall on these projects, the possible consideration of the board to indefinitely postpone some projects in order to lessen the deficit that we have overall. So the numbers that are going to be presented to you are with some certain bond projects indefinitely postponed. And so what you have, we'll review now with what Mr. Panahi said, and then I'm going to go back to, as if we were to complete all projects, what that deficit would look like.
And if you can look, we're recommending a GMP of $8,430,621.68. If you look down at the breakdown per project, and then underneath it, you can see what it includes. As Dominic mentioned, we were able to look at all the bond item projects that were included, AMS, and were included into the GMP, as well as the items that were included for the Northwest Niches campus. And then for the Canotillo High School, we did include the gym addition, the girls' locker room, and the subsidence at the plaza.
What was not included in the high school project was the baseball field upgrades, the fence at the wall ball courts, and the outdoor eating area.
And if you can see that the bottom says alternates not included, and you can see the actual cost, and that's including the fees, if that wants to be looked at a later date.
This is including fees.
Yes, ma'am. And this here today is just to discuss them. We're still in the process of reviewing these items. This is just a presentation of the GMP. No action is required from the board at this time.
Mr. Bundy, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? You said that the outdoor eating is not included.
Not in,
in this.
And again, I would like to mention to you that this agenda item today, or this item that we're discussing, is simply a review of the GMPs. It's not necessary. We don't want any action being taken tonight. It's just a review of the possibilities. Just
but
giving
this
you
GMP does not
that
include
number
the
that
outdoor.
You,
the
right.
Eight, the, what he just said, because
yes.
You're bunching them
right.
up together,
yes,
right?
Yeah. What you
so
have
the
there.
8.4 does not include the high school eating area.
Baseball field upgrades.
Yes. There's
the
three ultra wall
balls.
It was not included.
And it's not included. And I'd like to mention the CBAC meeting.
Yes. Okay.
The CBAC meeting that we had. I sent you an email indicating both estimates showing things taken out and all of the projects. So you have both in your hands.
Just to kind of also kind of quickly point out, from the GMP that we are recommending to the RFP that was actually presented to Baines, and we went out for RFP and we were able to get awarded this contract, we were within less than 1% of the actual estimate on that RFP.
That's pretty
good. The RFP was $8,370,000. This is also including the unforeseen condition that was at the Canutillo campus that was to relocate some underground lines because of the where the campus is currently located. And also there will be an additional $23,000 returned back to the district for a credit that would be reimbursed by community college for utility lines because they're at the Niches campus because they were responsible for bringing all the utilities 5 feet to the actual building. So they'll be reimbursing the district $22,000. So there's additional $22,000 that will be coming back to the district at this point. The bids are good for, to kind of go back to the day I heard before, there's a January 16th kind of day kind of floating around earlier. This is kind of similar. Our bids are good for 60 days. We did get excellent bids. We got quality bids, but the bids are also mid-January.
Bids are good for 60 days.
Cool. They're very good for them. I can kind of concur with Oscar's comment that we really would not want to see the bids to rebid this item because we did get quite a bit of savings compared to our original estimate.
Okay. I'd like to quickly show you here that we will be delivering this in the board weekly packet on Thursday. This is the estimate. Estimates below are inclusive of all bond projects. Please note larger deficit. So you'll be receiving this document. And what this is really showing, if you see at CHS, we've included the baseball field upgrades line item. We've included the fence at the wall ball courts item line item. And we've also included the outdoor eating area line item in this estimate. So if you notice that this is how we analyzed the proposals is we showed you an estimate back on close to Halloween. These are the dollar amounts we presented back then with real hard numbers. The presentation was given to us on the 10th of December. These are the updated numbers, so you can get to see the comparative analysis between what was estimated and what is actual. And you will note that construction by the construction manager risk back in October was $2.9 million, and they actually came in at $2.5 million. So that's considerably less than the estimate. So that's a good thing. And then that's CHS, an example. And all the numbers down below this line here are calculated on a fee percentage, and it's all calculated. Yes, ma'am.
Are they the same as they're not?
They're not the same as that number.
Yeah.
Those numbers that you have there are not inclusive of the three projects that we will be recommending being indefinitely postponed in order to reduce the deficit. So, what you're looking at is a little different from what you're going to see on Thursday.
Okay.
And that's just to give you an idea of what our thoughts are.
Yeah, so it's roughly about another $600,000 to do the three additional alternates.
And so you'll see at the bottom of this estimate, you're going to see we're in technically in surplus at $167,000, and that's up here on this presentation. We had about $167,000 in surplus as compared to the dollar amount that we actually have in the bank. And then Alderete Middle School, again, you'll see that the actual dollar amount we had estimated back in October was $4 million. 4.1, mm-hmm. and where we came in an actual but with actual numbers at 3.8 million. So that's again another another good sign of good competitive proposals. And so that brings our deficit at AMS from a 2.2 to a $1.99 million deficit. Again, we'll do the same thing with Northwest. Construction manager, the subtotal for construction was given to you back in October of 1.5, and today's dollar is 1.4. So the overall deficit down below for these four projects, including of course the Reyes Pre-K, you're going to see these line items here. We originally had told you we're at about a $3.13 million deficit. With actual numbers presented by Baines, we're closer to a 2.33. Last caveat here, we've not received the GMP for VMAC for the Reyes School. That still needs to be delivered to us. We anticipate that being delivered in January.
So that deficit does not include Reyes?
It does include Reyes.
It does.
But
okay.
Reyes' numbers that are shown here are estimated values
okay.
at this time.
It's and we've just seen that does not always happen.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
I have a question. What are you going to do to upgrade the baseball field, $350,000?
It was a new restroom and concessions. That was classified as a scope of work.
I mean, like, somehow I just don't think we're getting our money's worth.
The concessions and then the restrooms, the complication was also the site utilities is to bring it all the way from the road all the way to there to the actual concessions.
Included, so I guess we're not dealing with it.
Yeah, we are dealing with it. This is just our it will be our recommendation in the future when we have CBAC's input. Of course, we're still going to meet with them. We're going to give them a formal presentation and see whether or not they agree with our recommendations as far as the administration goes in order to indefinitely postpone those projects. So right now it's just on the table. There's no action needed. We're just kind of giving you the options. There's nothing to be decided tonight. We want CBAC's input and then of course the board's input once we bring this back around that January 16th date. It's just a presentation.
Well, Chair, can I ask at the Camarillo High School, the $233,000, why'd that come in so high?
Like kind of mentioned before, that was actually putting a metal roof. You're actually making it a closed capsule of that area. It's not so much of a...
So we went from a canopy to a metal roof?
Yeah, yes, sir. You went up to a canopy, actually adding walls. You had overhead doors. You had
So where did that scope of work completely change?
That would have to be something answered with that.
That scope of work was... I don't have a good answer for that because I wasn't involved in that design. On the front end, I received the documents at 95-99% completed, and the facility was already designed to that standard. I'm not certain as to why it was decided by administration. Maybe our architect can give us some more input regarding how that outdoor eating area design was enhanced over time.
Yes, the original, it was just some canopy or some type of shape, textile. And as we started submitting the sign and reviewing back then, it was Ms. Matthews, the principal, it kept changing until what it is right now. But we submitted the design to the board at least probably three times by now, and it had already been approved structure.
So the board is the one that approved this number?
Yes, it has been reviewed and approved. Yes, we submitted when it was like 80%, then 95%, and 100%, and it's always been approved like that. That has not changed. Since like the 80%.
And when Baines was awarded the canopy structure, that was already designed as we see it as today. Any other questions?
No, this is real well laid out. So
okay,
thank
yeah,
you.
I'm trying to make it as quick a summary.
It's real nice. Thank you.
Anything else regarding the bond project?
VMAX amendments on Reyes on the bond project?
Here we go.
Yeah.
So this item here is Reyes School Amendment, stated in board policy, any purchase of the cost and aggregates cost more than $10,000 shall require board approval before a transaction can take place. This is for the approval of a amendment number two, or rather an amendment to have VMAC continue with construction out in the field. As you well know, VMAC was released to start with the earthwork, and we released them on an earthwork package with an amendment. That earthwork package scope of work has come and has gone. It's probably 99% completed, I'd say, 99.9% yeah. done. And with the changes in scope, due to the phasing of the Reyes School, the drawings needed to be redesigned. And however, construction still continues out in the field. So while that redesign was happening, the contractor was working diligently to receive and is still currently receiving revised proposals from subcontractors for the entire guaranteed maximum price proposal. However, in the meantime, the construction out in the field needs to continue. This amendment is to release concrete, structural steel, masonry, and an elevator to be procured and start construction out in the field in order for that work to continue while that GMP is being presented, understanding that that earthwork package is 99.9% completed and they need to move forward now. And administration recommends the approval of VMAX amendment for building concrete, structural steel, material and erection steel allowance, plumbing, elevator, masonry, and associated fees and contingency for the attached breakdown. And that breakdown is giving the line items of what each one of those scopes of work. Again, this is a GMP, this is a CMR GMP type agreement that we have with VMAC. Any of these fees or any of these costs that are associated with this scope of work will be audited by internal auditors and with us as an administration to ensure that these numbers are true and correct. Out in the field, we'll be reviewing pay applications and other such documents to validate these numbers. We did have our architect CDA review the proposal and these documents that you're seeing here, and that that letter was given by them from CDA. And Mr. Daniel is here, and Google's email was that we take no exception other than we're just questioning the additional steel allowance. In that breakdown that I gave you that you mm-hmm. have, there's a steel allowance of $15,000. So there's just some discrepancy as to $50,000 as to how much tonnage is in the project. There's some discrepancies between the subcontractors. They decided to put $50,000 in there as a contingency for that line item, and VMAC, our construction manager at risk, along with the administration, will be validating that $50,000 and being credited any of that is not spent.
Can you show us where it is on the contingency?
Yes, ma'am.
See, I see it as being steel allowance.
Steel allowance is a allowance contingency. Could be used as the same type. Mm-hmm. It's an allowance of money that's being held there for now until we're able to validate that actual cost.
There's Mr. Cornell.
And where did Mr. Rodriguez auditing this bond issue? Mm-hmm. As I think
Hector.
Yeah.
So we are in the process of getting with the rest of the administration, our superintendent, in order to put in procedures to continue with the procedures for auditing these construction projects that have already passed and projects as they go along. It'll be our recommendation here in the near future to get with internal audit, in particular, Mr. Herrera. Into examining these projects in complete depth and understanding where these funds are being spent.
Dr. Gelabes, is Dr. Rodriguez auditing the bond money and the bond projects as the board had instructed earlier?
Yes.
Maybe 2 months ago or so?
Yes, he's going over our procedures, and so is Emil.
With the money?
With the money.
Not just procedure, but
yeah,
with
everything.
Okay. Okay.
Good. Can't do much. Go straight to the board. Can't do much on this one.
Yeah.
Is it on the agenda for tomorrow?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about it.
Dominic, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On the still allowance, you're saying yes, contingency, so is VMAC in agreement? I mean, VMAC in agreement. Are they on the same page of what you just said?
Yes.
As far as what is not being used will be reimbursed to the school district?
Yes, this is a CMR, construction manager risk type of negotiation. It's not a hard bid. It's not a lump sum type contract.
So the allowance does, it's...
Everything is very, very, it's a transparent type of contract. We're able to validate exactly what that is. It's all the records are open to us. All the books are open to us. Correct me if I'm speaking out of turn anywhere here.
No, that is correct.
And I want them just to say, yes, it is an open record type agreement where we're able to validate every single number, and we are, as you are aware, what we discussed, we're in the process of having internal audit start looking at all these projects.
Thank you.
Just so you know, since we went back to that item, CPAC did make a recommendation that. That we're in agreement with the administration recommending the Senate to move on with stipulation that in the future, that we recommendations is that we with no cost go forward unless there's a GMP's in place, so we don't piecemeal these projects any further. That way, we know what it is and what it's going to be.
And to address Mr. Sandoval, if I may, their concern, yes, I agree. And we discussed that due to the phasing of the project and the redesign of the construction documents, there was some delay in where we were with construction as far as where we were with the GMP. And yes, we agree with you. And we have talked with BMAC that they will be presenting a GMP later part of January in order to have that GMP finally in place and move forward with that dollar amount. So we agree with what you recommended exactly. That no further amendments be added. We go, let's get a GMP. Mm-hmm. That should have been done before my time. Okay. That should have been done at 90% construction documents. However, that didn't happen.
All right.
Go to the next one.
Yep, Ms. Cordon.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late. I just, okay. Long day. Even longer than tomorrow.
Yeah. Read in
we go
B.
On to B.
Read in B. Next item. Yes.
Do you want to go back up, please?
You ready? Go back up. We've done that.
Oh, yeah. We can go back. Sure.
Do we need some? We have Mr. Winton and then the master plan. Are we going to need the presentation? No? Okay. It's not.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes. Just stay on them, see if we can get a special board meeting, especially with me. They communicate with us so we can get it in.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Okay, I'm great to see you.
so that's what Lori did on the board.
It's a mess.
Agenda.
I don't know.
Somebody dropped the ball.
We need to. Why don't we set it quick for Thursday? Have somebody close right now. While we
can
come in
post,
and do that.
Can you do it for Thursday?
For
today?
Thursday night at 8.
8 o'clock? Get it in there?
Yeah.
Can you post that?
What we do is we go take care of our stuff.
Come back and just do an action
item. Do an action item.
That way we do that.
I'll tell you why, because if we don't, and the interest rate...
He said the 16th, and even then, we need a week before the 16th of December? January.
Yeah.
Huh? 9 o'clock, by the time we get back, we should be good.
By the time we get back.
Yeah.
We can, as long as it's the meeting's after, whatever we post is fine.
Let Joel know.
Let's post 8 or 8:30.
Yeah, let Joel know.
I would say 8, because we're being here at 5:30. It's not going to take us 2 hours to go out there.
Well, no, we got dinner first. Remember, 5:30 to 6, and then from 6 to... It's supposed to be till 8, so if we get it till 8, we'll be okay.
Let's post for 8.
Yeah, we got to do it now.
But we need to do it now. Let's post for 8. And even if we don't start at 8, as long as we start at 8:30 or whatever, it's no problem. As long as we start afterwards,
yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
We just can't start before. Anybody there?
No, go ahead.
Where are you sitting, Lori?
Wherever you want me.
She's sitting right there.
How are you?
Yes. No, actually, just one for now. We're going to do these separately.
You got it.
Who was here, Doc?
Nobody
was.
Nobody, you.
All right.
That's just
the UPC was you.
All right.
The flying bee.
Okay.
It's going real good, Lori. Thank you.
More? You got a haircut today?
No, I got a haircut last Wednesday.
I was thinking about telling
Jimmy. I got it just trimmed.
Yeah.
And so I'll get another trim in another week or so.
And he trims nice instead of giving you a scalp, right?
Yes. It's my client. He's,
I know,
what's it called?
It's
the Rubens.
Red, yeah.
The Rubens. So are on Red and Donovan.
I was thinking of telling Jimmy to go there because your hair is curly like his.
Yeah. He's pretty good, actually.
And
he's one
he
of the ones
good.
That have cut my hair the best, actually.
Yeah, he does a good job. I admire her.
It's hard to cut curly hair.
Okay, where are we?
For me.
Yeah, it is. Jimmy goes, he's got that beautiful, big, curly hair. And he'll tell him, just trim it, and they don't know what to do. And he comes back looking like a Marine.
Did you see that Hagen request?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even move it.
Yeah.
He wanted us to pay and give him all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Can you, like, improve my...
But what's bothering me is that he's asking us to basically put ourselves in a position to get sued.
Absolutely.
With
and
the seller.
And not only
of
that.
Easement for the... Yeah.
But to also make a gift of public land.
Property.
Funds and everything else. I found it is to be an insult,
and
to be honest with you.
What did I saw that he wants to pay us to pave an inch to his deal.
Yes.
Yes. Essentially, take out the access, right? Take out, across the field.
What about that? Mr. Gill's going to farm it.
Yeah,
he
in the meantime.
Me something. Yeah, in the newspaper I read about some, there's this new restaurant that opened. They don't care if you can pay or not pay. Did you read about that, Adrian? Some ladies open this restaurant. You can just come and eat. They don't care. And you pay them whatever you want to pay them. And they said that they were growing the food there on, like, Canyatillo Milagro Farm. And I thought, well, I've never seen or heard of that. Have you?
No.
And all I could think of was, we need to grow stuff on that new land to feed our kids. Guys, I went to Garcia today for their rehearsal.
Christmas?
Oh. No, Christmas Wednesday.
Did any of you go to our music recital or for Christmas recital at the high school?
I didn't even know it was.
Man, you guys missed.
Really?
I didn't even know it.
You guys missed.
Was it awesome?
It's awesome, guys. Our band is awesome.
I'm so impressed.
Awesome. They've got the concert band at the end. They've got the chorale, which is one of the choirs, the chamber choir, perform.
Wow.
The jazz band perform.
Really?
Wow.
Then the, what else? Then the concert band at the end.
That's
the mariachi,
awesome.
We have a mariachi.
The mariachis
did you
it
know?
Too?
Yeah, the mariachi performed for the first time.
Awesome.
And you know who was the first mariachi? Canutio Mariachi from the high school. My son.
Get out.
He was the very first ones to sign up for the mariachi.
I can't believe it.
Mr. Ramos was telling me.
That is amazing.
So he's the first Canutio Mariachi.
Yes.
First mariachi.
Did they get outfits?
Sounds like a movie.
Not yet, but they're coming in. Yeah. They did. They all did really good. Our, they have.
I didn't even know.
I didn't even know.
They.
It was a
I mean, it lasted
yeah,
until
I know.
It was from 7 to 10.
No, we had no idea.
It was really good, but in our sound system, I felt ashamed. We still didn't fix it. But
I know it should have been fixed by now.
So on tomorrow night's agenda.
Yeah, we got B1. We're moving forward.
The only thing I want to question them about is that 60,000 doesn't sound. They got 3 speakers of 1,000 each. Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that? I don't get it.
They said they spec'd it out.
Yeah, but...
I'm with you. I don't...
We shifted some monies for the bus, too.
I know, but... I don't want to have to spend more money later on.
Yeah, they didn't talk about it.
That's why 6 years, when 12-6, because of that,
we need something
that's going to
stay
there for
at least 10 years.
Yeah,
that's
at least. Thing. At least 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just not. It doesn't sound right.
That's where we allocate.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know why they got the JBL speakers.
Those are the best.
Well, we should have done something like that.
Are you ready to go, Aaron?
Is it
yes.
We can go.
The real
is there, okay.
High, the real low.
As soon as you guys want to get started.
Can we go?
Clip.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Do it.
We're going to start off with B1.
Is this still recording or not?
I believe so.
Yep.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having us. My name is Joseph Nestor. I'm here to talk to you about a new project, 120 acres, that is in the northeast. However, just to comment, the agenda says the wind and development. This is a group of partners, one of which is Scott Winton, but it has nothing to do with the Winton group itself. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
I'll be very brief, and then you guys can ask questions. But this project here, the reason I got involved is because the vision that's shared by the partners is that we want something great here, something that is going to create value, is going to create a sense of community for the community. And we believe that the only way to actually create that or achieve that, it starts by reaching out to the community and getting the feedback. So I don't have a presentation for you for a very good reason. We haven't developed anything yet. We haven't designed anything. We're at the stage where we're going out to different groups. We went to the city. We went to the Water Improvement District. We met with a homeowner association president. We wanted to present this to you guys just to show you what we are, what we're looking at here, and so that you're aware of it and you can provide us feedback, whether it's here or in other opportunities. The piece of land, the parcel that we're talking about is this one here. Sorry, I don't have a pointer, but it's this rectangle right here. And this is West Side Road, and this is our craft. Okay? Again, we don't have a plan for this, but we do want it to have, we want it to create a destination where people want to go. We want it to have a lot of open space. We don't know anything about the densities. We don't know what type of product, because the market's going to dictate that, but also all the feedback. We want to have some community workshops and charrettes. We talked to the city. It was very welcome at the city, and possibly they're going to help us organize these starting the second week of January. Mm-hmm. So again, we want to get a lot of feedback to create something great here. One of the concepts that we have, this one?
Yes.
You guys like it? Okay. What's interesting about this project, this piece of land, is there's several factors. One, it's a very important location. Two, our craft actually kind of locks it in, where there's no access off of our craft. However, there is a drainage channel. Sorry for my laser pointer here, right here. And instead of doing the typical type of development where people kind of ignore it or put it aside or bury it, we actually were thinking, what can we do with that to make it something better, something great? We met with the Water Improvement District, and they're actually very open to doing something where the pictures you see here our inspiration, let's call it. Everybody's heard about the Riverwalk in San Antonio. These are the canal in Holland. What if we can incorporate that water feature to make it a destination where we have amenities on the side of it and make it a feature rather than hiding it or burying it or having it dry most of the year, but keeping it functional, of course. We want this, and the Water District, of course, will want to keep it functional. It creates an opportunity also where this ditch goes all the way to Upper Valley Road. It goes behind Heritage Farms. There's a lot of opportunities here to create connectivity and walkability with the rest of the community. And that's why we also want to get a lot of feedback from the rest of the neighbors. We're thinking of again, these are just conceptual, but we're thinking maybe of some type of grand avenue, which would be something like this, where it's either like the type of esplanade where you have a lot of a big green belt where you can drive through and you see the park areas next to you, maybe soccer fields, baseball fields. Keep in mind, this is 120 acres. A lot fits in this. So we want to incorporate a lot of green areas, a lot of places where families can go on the weekend and, hey, let's go play soccer, let's go play volleyball, let's go to the water feature. Make this, again, a place that we would all be very proud of, where the neighborhood feels proud of it, and since it became part of the actual design and with the feedback, it's something that's going to improve the whole area, the whole Upper Valley. Again, we don't know about type of neighborhoods, type of products, densities, or anything, because we want to have these workshops. But we just know that we want to do it right, and this is the only way is just to be open about it, get the workshops, the feedback, together develop something.
Great.
That's a real basic overview. We wanted you guys to be at the forefront of this.
Does this design include any space for a school at all?
Well, again, this is very preliminary. Okay. It was just one of the many ideas. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is space for school. Mm-hmm. We've been approached already by a church. Mm-hmm. I've been approached by a business. Mm-hmm. You know, this area possibly could be around this, could be a little higher density. Mm-hmm. And it could be maybe retail on the bottom with some offices on the top. I mean, just it could be anything. But yes, there's space for a school facility, church, and that's the kind of stuff we want. We want it to be diverse and to become its own little community. Yes, ma'am.
You just spoke commercial. You realize there is no commercial in the Upper Valley but two places, one Mr. Winton's land, and two is another piece of property off of Art Craft. It 10 years was spent making sure there'd be no commercial in the Upper Valley.
Okay.
That is not in keeping with the Upper Valley project, with the way it looks, with the sentiment, with anything that goes behind it.
Right. Well,
so
I'm glad you brought it up.
I question where you're coming with the commercial.
Well, again, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. There's a lot of factors that need to be considered, including, you know, what's set for the Upper Valley, the master plan, the Upper Valley, mm-hmm. you know, all that. We are aware of that. We want to consider that. Again, this is the very beginning. We don't know. For a neighborhood to be sustainable long-term also, there needs to be some mixed uses. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from a lot of master planners throughout the country, throughout the world.
I'm sure,
Do we have the perfect formula for the Upper Valley right now? Probably not. And I'm not just Upper Valley, all of El Paso. Coming from the developer community, I can tell you that we've been developing in a way that needs to stop, and it needs to be improved, because all we're doing is slashing and cutting. You know, if you go across the street from here, and you see the neighborhood that's being developed, and it's just streets and lots, that's not the way to develop El Paso. And now we're getting, you know, you touched something that's very important to me, and I think maybe you're along the same feelings. We gotta be able to develop better. Is it going to happen overnight? No. But it takes steps. And we need to improve from one neighborhood to the other, how we can do that. Now, is doing all of this, if we follow the current code and we do 2.5 units per acre, that's also not the best way to develop the Upper Valley, especially 120 acres. There has to be some diversity. But again, this is at the very beginning. We got to see what the community and the city needs, what the neighborhood wants, and together come up with something. Whether that was just one of the ideas, but we don't know yet. We don't know yet. But 120 acres can't be 2.5 units per acre for 120 acres. You're going to end up getting something like across the street. So we want to come up with something that will be better for the Upper Valley and for El Paso and the rest of the community. But we don't know what that is yet.
Where's the connectivity to Heritage Farms, I heard you say?
This canal here, if you follow this one, it goes and it crosses Upper Valley Road. It goes behind, in the
Ashford. Oh, yes.
Behind
uh-huh.
Heritage Farms.
Yeah, I know exactly
and that,
where you mean.
Park right there also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know exactly where you mean.
Yeah, and you know, I used to write on Yeah, our craft and the little jogging area in these canals. I used to come to these places and go running, and I really loved the Upper Valley because of that, you know. I probably ran too much. But it's a shame that we're not using these canals in these areas for more connectivity. It really could connect the neighborhoods. And when we start, you know, I'm not going to point at any specific examples, but when you start parcelizing all these little neighborhoods, without a master plan that's more cohesive, you're not getting this connectivity that we could have in the Upper Valley. And this is an opportunity to show an example of how you can do it. And hopefully, see, influence some of what could happen in this area and what can happen here. I'll share an example with you, nothing to do with such a large project, but I was involved in a historical renovation of a home in a very poor area of El Paso. I also did weather station for the city and for Project Bravo. One thing I've noticed, not always, but a lot of times, in a neighborhood where you see the trash on the outside, the broken down car and everything, we fixed up a house, and all of a sudden you see the neighbor starting to clean up a little, and you see the other neighbor taking a little more pride. When you do something and you start doing it right, we also don't believe in the segregation of all houses that are $80,000, all houses that are $120,000. You know, if you mix it up, it lifts up actually the value of everything. It doesn't bring it down, it brings it up. And you create that sense of community, and people start taking pride in their properties and in their neighborhoods. And that's what we want to create here. So my example is if you do something better in one area, it influences around, it brings up the surrounding houses or the neighborhoods. We're hoping that this can become an example of what can be done in Upper Valley. Because right now, as you know very well, you know, there's different entities that are pushing different ways. There is actually probably a better solution of how we can do this better at one step at a time. But we don't have the answer yet.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and I know I'm not, Dover Coal, the city spent millions with Dover Coal on the master plan.
Right.
There's a whole section of it specifically for the Upper Valley.
Right. And we met with the city. We had looked at the plan, we read the book, everything. And again, the same message was taken to the city. What can we do and how can we do it better? You know, what we've been doing up to now can be done better. How can we do this better? So and that's what we want to look at.
You have not purchased the land yet, correct?
No, it's under due diligence.
Because I just saw the sign for sale yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's secured under due diligence.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
And this is just in its early phases, so this could just change over time.
Do not put this to memory. This is just one little conceptual drawing of, you know,
what could be done.
What could be. But this, again, the reason why we're here before you and why we're doing these charrettes, because we really want to get the feedback. The typical way is usually, hey, this is our plan, you know, and it goes before city council and it goes up to, by law, to be announced to the neighborhoods. We want to do the opposite. We want to talk to everybody first and say, okay, based on, you know, I just went to one for, it's the Palisades, the new land that was acquired by the PSB that's off of Robinson and Rim Road. And they had a workshop at Mesita Elementary School. And they had different tables, and they had pictures of a trail. And do you like this trail, this trail, this trail, this trail? Do you like this type of picnic table? Do you like this type of everything? And people start putting stickers on what they preferred.
Yeah,
I thought it's a good way of interacting and saying, hey,
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, we've done that.
We've done that.
Okay. And, you know, maybe that's a way to get started. And it'd be really nice to come back and go, hey, remember, the majority wanted this, the majority wanted A, B, C, and D, and here's A, B, C, and D plus this and not this, you know? We got to start somewhere.
How quickly are you thinking? You thinking charrettes beginning of the year?
Beginning January, yes.
And then what happens after the charrettes?
We got to take the feedback. Mm-hmm. We also are doing a market analysis, of course. We're researching other projects in the country that have been successful in trying to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why reinvent the wheel? We have been developing as humans for thousands of years. And if you look at the older neighborhoods, especially in other countries, there's a really tight sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Although the density is higher, but it's just because people usually grow vertically. Unlike the U.S., we sprawl, right?
Mm-hmm.
But So it would be to do all our research, including the charrettes and all that, and then start getting the engineer or land designer, land planner.
When do you think you'll have a final concept?
Final concept, 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months. Okay. But what do you need from us? Do you just want us to be participating?
Well, yeah, we wanted to hear from us, number one, and two, your feedback, of course. Yeah, what does the district, what would you guys like to see? What would you like, guys, what would like not to see?
I'd like to just see a section cut out for schools. That's for one thing.
Okay.
We don't have a school south of Artcraft, and that would make it.
Okay.
You know,
and who would we talk to specifically
and
about that?
What we're looking at on January, if I may, on January 16th, we're looking at having a board workshop, I think we're going to call it, and we're bringing on all the developers because we need to look at everything that's coming at us, and there's a lot coming at us.
Yeah.
It takes 3 to 6 years to build a school, and you guys are building homes faster than
yeah.
we can build schools. So we are going to be sitting down, we're going to be looking at a lot of, bringing in all the developments, we're going to be putting things that we know about on a GIS map. We're going to be saying, okay, this is what we have projected in this area at 724 homes. This is what we have projected in this area for 204 homes. This is what we have projected in this area for an overall of 3,500 homes, but at 250 homes per year. We're trying to get all this information because what we're seeing and what I'm very afraid of is we're not going to have the land. We have to purchase land years before we have a school. And we know the growth's coming. A lot of it's coming on that side of the freeway.
We anticipated that before, though, didn't we?
But,
and now it's coming over here.
But
yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Wait till January 16th. And then you'll be awake at night like I am now. Because we're already behind the eight ball. We don't have land where we need it. And we don't have the amount of land that we need. So why I'm doing this is because we need to form a partnership. Okay, we have to know what's coming in.
Yep.
And the developers aren't going to be able to have schools if we don't know what's coming in. And we have to know now. Mm-hmm. And so,
absolutely.
And what we're going to do is, Aaron's reaching out to everyone. We're trying to get everything put on this map so that I can give it to you in layers. We're geocoding every single child in this district. We're going to be looking at projections that we can get as far as price ranges, you know, how many you're putting in, how many homes you're putting in, you said 2.5, you know, I mean, how many homes you're putting in per acre. We're asking all this because they're already building,
yeah.
and we don't know about it. So what we're trying to do is get it as succinct as possible. I know Mr. Medina has asked me for a 20-year plan. I'll be lucky if I can give you a 10-year plan.
I want 5, 10, 20.
20 is all going to be pie in the sky, and I'll be the first to be honest with you, as will the developers say that.
That's all we're good with.
But we absolutely can give you 3, 5, and 10, and the 3 and 5 is going to scare you out of your wits.
Yeah.
So what I really would do, I'd like to invite you to January 11th.
The 16th.
Thank you, ma'am. Wow. Here I'm getting the 11th. January 16th. But I do think, because it's coming anyways.
Okay. Yeah, and I saw on your agenda that you have the Northeast mm-hmm. plan.
I'm going to talk about that.
I agree with you. I think that's very smart. And not only for future projection, but you should be able to get the land sheet.
Yes, we're going to go directly to the person selling it rather than go to a developer.
So that's in January. And going back to the question, who do we deal with? Who should we talk to about?
Well, our government relations is really our voice to the business community at this point.
Okay.
And I'm sure the superintendent would want to be involved as well. So.
And he brings it back, and then we plot it on the map.
Yeah. So it would be through Eric.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I go ahead, Doug.
No, go ahead.
I like your plan.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's high time we start doing innovative things. We obviously want to look at the makeup of the entire project is.
Sure.
But I like the plan. I like the fact that you have the green space in between the two roads, crossing, dividing some of the development. It kind of reminds me a little bit, although it's curved in here, but it reminds me a little of the Boston, part of Boston, where they have the large park spread in between the two roads going up and down.
It reminds me of Griffith Park.
Griffith Park.
You go to Griffith Park, there's like a split. Yeah. Yeah. When you're going up.
You don't know anything about Boston, Annette.
Yeah, when we've been meeting with different groups, people just like yourself right now said, hey, you know what, look at this project. We saw something we really like, you know, and that's what we're trying to see. We do want a lot of open space, but usable open space. You know, I'm on the Open Space Advisory Board, so I deal a lot with that, but a lot of that has to do with land that most people will never access.
Right.
You know, you don't take your kids to Franklin Mountains to go hiking. They want a soccer field. So we want to have a green space. We want to incorporate all these amenities, but make them also
usable,
visually appealing, but also useful. Exactly.
I like your idea of using the canals, because for so long we walk along these canals and they're just, you know,
dry beds.
Yeah, they're dry beds, and so you're gonna have them filled. That's the concept.
No,
of having them filled.
Thinking about it. Thinking. Okay. And we met with Mr. Reyes at the Water Improvement District, and they were very open to working together to see how we can do something like that. Yeah. Yeah, other places have done it in the world, so there's nothing to keep us from doing it. But again, all of this is very conceptual. We want to have the charrettes, the workshops, and all that.
I would just communicate there and with the charrettes are, so we can get the word
out. Of course, yeah. And you guys, you involved
Mr.
throughout
Chair,
the process
I've got a question.
as much as you want.
What are you going to do about West Side Drive?
As far as?
Like, you're not going to be able to... Have you driven down it recently?
Yes.
It looks like somebody dropped a bomb on it.
Yeah. Well, for sure, West Side Drive would have to be improved and probably widened. Because West Side Drive, we think, inevitably, is going to become a major arterial. You know, something
well,
more important
that's
than
part
it is
of that.
Today.
It is also, exactly. though, part of, it's the Oñate Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Which historically is preserved in writing for perpetuity, if I'm not mistaken. So that's an issue.
Okay.
Have you thought? I mean, my husband told me the other day not to drive on it anymore because it was so bad it would ruin my car.
Is it that bad? But
oh yeah,
well, you know,
it is.
It's certainly.
It's horrible.
It's the city.
And so, you know, how will these people get where they're going? I mean,
well, again, if Any kind of improvement that's going to be done here, you know how the city is. They're going to require improvement of the roadway of West Side Drive. So that's going to be part of it. And like you mentioned, it's part of the transportation plan. So
what they're doing right now is
it's going to have to be.
They're dumping all that traffic onto Upper Valley. They didn't improve it at all. They're killing that road right now.
They're
with
killing
that construction on country clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just worked on it. They just redid Upper Valley.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Now they're going to have to expand it even further, but they didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah. You know, and that, like I mentioned in the Open Space Advisory Board, not being against development, pro development. The fact is, as a city, we're going to keep growing. We have to. So if we're going to have to keep growing, let's do it better. That's the only thing. Let's try to do it a little better. Mm-hmm. You know. And because we're standing here today, and we can talk about what's been done in the past, but what are they going to say about what we did today in 10 years, 20 years? Let's think 50 years, you know? And anyway, sorry, I'll get
Thank
off
you
on
for
my
coming
meeting.
To the
I
table
also have
to
a
us.
Question,
yes, sir.
I just wanted to make a couple points in your area there that you show in red, that triangle down there by our craft. For years and years, it sat there. Really been of no value to our city because it was landlocked. You couldn't get to it, so you guys were able to buy it. That's a good thing. I looked at it years ago, but I couldn't figure out how to buy it because I couldn't get to it. That area, if you do mixed use there, and there is some commercial development on the other side of our craft, just up on Upper Valley. There's a strip mall there, and these guys are going to build something a lot prettier than a strip mall. They put some commercial use in there.
You're right up against the high voltage lines. You're aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
The new lines.
The new lines, yes. The lovely
orange. Don't they blend right in?
Yeah, if you're looking at the mountain.
And one more thing, if I could lobby for a horseback riding trail in there somewhere.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because that's actually come up several times. Mm-hmm. And this has the potential to do that. And I've heard of other projects that mentioned it,
right along the canal.
To fruition.
That would be awesome.
The Valley Creek Park has
one side of the canal.
The Valley Creek Park has it.
Yes.
Has the riding. And if you're saying you connect to Heritage, Heritage connects to that, so you ought to be able to have your riding trails.
It would be fantastic. It would be fantastic.
And it goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful area. Yeah.
It is. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Tell you, I have a real quick, Mr. Valenstein. Looking at it, I guess some of the stuff for my job is looking at some of the stuff that's going on with smart code, or even the placemaking, and just looking at, first I wanted to get recognition to Mr. Winton and the family for first taking the initiative when it came to Laguna Meadows when there was no housing developments and taking initiative, and then we see the other project that looks, it's going to look neat, you know, and this one just adding to our district. I think it's great to have that continued communication. I want to thank you all for coming and giving us that information. I would like Aaron, in the future, if you're seeing anything on this OPC or anything, if they would like to give us information on this committee, then it's great, so that way we could be ahead of the game.
I don't know the story.
But thank you all for taking that initiative. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
This is the first time we have a developer present us?
Yes, ever.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that make up everybody along the agenda?
Imagine that, they come to us first.
So are we ready for the next one? I'll be fast.
Yeah, do it.
Go.
I am two PSP ideas.
Thank you.
All of this stuff makes me want to just start crying. I saw in the paper last week on Via Canutillo a $247,000 phone.
Yeah? For sale?
Yeah, that's your tax money, sir.
It's going to be.
Sorry about that.
It's huge. I drove up through there today.
We're going to.
129.
It's
29.
Oh,
79, right?
129.
Kind of
small, isn't it?
We'll just take you across the freeway really quickly. I just want to let you all know that I was thinking about the development on the other side, and I went to a PSB meeting, and they said that they gave direction to the CEO and president to start the process for selling some more PSB land. It's the land that's in between Cimarron and the Franklin Mountains. So it's quite a bit of land, but I thought it would be better for the district to purchase school sites from the PSB rather than purchasing it from the developer later, which would
exactly
be a lot more expensive.
That's exactly what we're trying to get ahead of them. And it's
that's the corner bar.
And it's relatively easy to do, believe it or not.
That's
and
yes.
Party. Yes. But
we need to take a look at it. Look at it.
What we need to do is, I think what you say, Aaron, that you just have to.
Yeah, we'll just really quickly to go through this. It's about 1,850 acres of PSB land in the northwest, and it's master planned. So, like you have this paper right in front of you. The intent was to make sure the development was better than it's been done before, rather than cookie cutter lots and what some could consider chaos. I think this will look a lot better. So, but that land is going to be going out for bid in the summer of 2014. So, that I'd like to bring this to you sooner, so you can see if you'd like to make a decision. So it's master planned. It's going to look a lot different. It's intended to protect the land features that exist there currently. This new master plan is going to be predominantly residential with some mixed use and commercial. The homes will be built in clusters coming down to preserve more open space in the area. But the big part that I want you to take away from that is it's going to include 4,731 homes.
Yeah, read that one again, please.
That's a whole city.
It's going to be very, very large, and there's going to be all kinds of homes. If you look closely, the LD means low density, meaning those are going to be very big, expensive homes. But then there's also going to be
The hill.
Yeah, but the plan also calls for apartments in the area too. So it's going to be very diverse. And in the master plan, they want two elementary schools and one middle school in this area. I think once me and Ms. Brigham put some more numbers together, maybe those are things that you guys might want to change.
but I wanted you to know that it's there. And I met with the real estate manager of the PSB, and she told me if there is pieces of land that the school is interested in, we just have to submit a letter to them and asking them to set that land aside. We don't
Does
have
it have to,
pay to
be
for
what
it.
They've already identified as school sites?
It
no.
Have to be
no,
those.
It does not.
No.
It well,
because our middle school is literally right on the corner of that land, on the
right.
southwest corner of that property. That's where Paseo del Norte and Red cross, and that's
right.
where our property is at,
right.
our Reyes school.
Right.
So having another school within a block away or a couple blocks away is...
Well, if that's going to happen, we think it could very well also happen.
Yeah.
We could have a school a block away from each other.
Well, we're more concerned about a high school, are we not? Than
yes, we most certainly are. Thank you. We are most certainly concerned about a high school, which means more acreage.
But we will be concerned about an elementary because we'll turn Reyes into a middle school, and then we'll need the
yeah,
elementary.
Yeah, that's right. We'll need
they
an elementary.
Elementary on the other side of I-10.
Yeah.
We're going to need elementary and a high school.
But think about it. It's 5,000 homes. That's going to provide about 5,000 kids?
No.
No, more than that.
More?
Yeah. Say 7 to 8.
What's the development timeline for this?
The land's going to be sold next summer, so it's already master planned. If the developers wanted to, they can start following this right away.
So if we get our bids in, we can take the property now what we want.
Right. So say you looked at this and you said, okay, those sites are great. What you would need to do is submit a letter to the PSB asking them to set this land aside. You wouldn't have to pay any money up front. But once they put it out to bid, they would ask you for a deposit, so to speak, just to hold on to that land to make sure, to let them know that you're serious about that land.
Who does the letter come from?
From the superintendent.
Okay.
So so my recommendation was for you all to review the master plan, identify the school sites, explore the possibility of purchasing the land.
So it'd be a nice
and
school
so we would
site.
Just submit a formal request to have the PSB set the land
22
aside
acres.
For a future purpose.
Here's another
and
one,
we wouldn't
28
be required
acres.
To pay a deposit for the property until
Here.
The land is put
the
out
yellow
to bid.
Piece.
No, this a red and an orange.
Sale in Trans Mountain?
I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is Trans Mountain.
And also, just
no,
for,
forget
just
that.
For your
Thank
reference,
you.
Right here on Trans
yeah,
Mountain
that's a bad
and
one.
Wrestler is where the new hospital is going to be going up. So this
Trans
land,
Mountain and Wrestler or Paseo de Luna?
Trans Mountain and Wrestler.
No, okay. Wrestler.
Hey,
so
help me find Wrestler.
It's not on the map.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's
that's why I don't
of,
see it.
Trans Mountain.
I see Sorry. Helen of Troy. Right. I see red.
So it would be somewhere like around right here. But the reason I want to bring that up is because there could be a lot of doctors and nurses and medical people in the medical industry that could find this area
it's
really
That's what
desirable.
We're thinking, right?
So what are they going to sell it? It's
a high school.
They're going to put it out to bid so developers can offer. It's going to go to the highest bidder.
100?
When you mentioned deposit, what kind of deposit
well,
are we talking about?
She said it was going to be a percentage of what the land's appraised.
I don't want a 5A high school.
Well. All
no idea
now.
What the percentage
is. Well, yeah,
it, I mean, we don't want to go six. Which
yeah,
school sites?
Yeah, we don't want to.
I mean, that I'll find out for you tomorrow.
We don't want to go there.
Here's the high school site right here, sir.
I don't think so.
So we can
start losing kids.
But so let's say we can do it. Aaron, I'd like to make a recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
That
60 to 70.
We would like to propose that the Public Service Board actually grant the school district land sites in before they ever sell, that they would just, in fact, I think you could draw something like this up easily.
I think they'd like for you to decide which pieces of land that you do want.
Yeah.
They can.
They want us to pinpoint
yeah,
what areas
want
you want to reserve.
You can have what you want. You just have to pinpoint exactly.
Yeah.
We do
want.
Pinpoint, but... In as a precursor to
yeah.
that we would tell them we would find it be very neighborly,
okay.
good neighbor,
it's 64
to give us, to afford us a chance
oh God,
to get ahead.
Right.
And all this land, all of it in here is PSB land?
Yes.
Well, I think what we
yeah.
need to do is...
To donate the land. That's what I'm getting at.
It was brought to my attention earlier that the PSB is the largest landholder of gun
in our district, yes.
So,
and we have been suffering. Chalo Garcia, for many, many years, I know you don't know him. He's a very dear friend. We pounded the Public Service Board that We got no tax money out of this land for all of these years. They were the biggest landholders in our district. Mm-hmm. We received no taxes. We had no chance of getting any. And that possibly that could be the good neighbor resolution to all the many years of no tax.
For a year or for $1.
Yeah.
They probably have to change something like that because I think the charter would not allow
yes.
you to just
it's $1 it. And a consideration or something.
Okay. Uh-huh. Then I'll look into
what's going to happen to your children?
As far as the property sites, you have it up.
You know, we're taking two pad sites. We're taking one pad site. You know, because these are too small, and since we have middle school right here.
Yeah, we've already said that we thought they were too small.
Yeah, and then take this section here for a high school. Put the high school there. Put the elementary where that's at, but take the rest of that section.
Where do you want the high school, Adrian?
Right here. Up against the mountain. We don't want it on the other side of Trans Mountain.
What about that other orange? That one?
Trans Mountain.
That's Trans Mountain?
It's 50 acres. No. Trans Mountain's right here.
Okay.
Is okay.
50 acres is a high school?
Yeah.
I thought we needed more than 50 acres.
We need a little more than that.
We can do 50
more?
Trans Mountain is this one?
Yeah.
Or that
one? One on the top.
That's but what we have to do is we can't do what we did to get a kid to high school. We have to have at least a major artery. That is a horrible thing to get in and out of.
Well, now, I mean, it's resolving itself with Rubalcaba being extended.
This is going to be a different type of high school because it's going to be under the smart code and smart growth. It would be.
It's more condensed, yes. That's what I'm saying. That's
why I'm saying. With this site or even that
more like that. You're exactly right.
That's Trans Mountain again.
Which one, the blue or the yellow? The blue is 14 and the yellow is 7, so you'd get about 22 acres.
What is this?
Please note that if there are graphic lines or any the real indication, we'll be paying a lot to fill in what you just pointed out.
No, that's
what my question is. I asked this if
you're exactly
right.
If you can do the pictography or get it from the CAD so we know what this really looks like.
And that's what we were thinking. We're just bringing this up for information because we wanted you to hear that we wanted to go to the PSB first.
Like
we,
this.
We didn't want to go, but we didn't want, because right now we know that Hunt will be there, and we know that other developers will be there, and they'll buy it up. So we need to be able to say, don't forget us.
We need to be first in line saying, remember us, we're right here. Hands out.
And we want the district to either hopefully have the land donated to us or buy it directly from the PSB, then
from the Hunt, absolutely. They've stuck it to us every time.
So that's what we're trying to do, Ms. Earls, is. So, and I agree with you because Aaron and I were talking about that. When you say 50 acres, you might have to buy 75 acres.
They were extending.
Oh, we might have to buy different area because it's going to cost us for the earthwork to just try to get a pad to put that school in. So, yes, we do know that.
What I? I mean, we can go, I'll take the yellow one and the blue one and go ahead and give us a red one too. But then when you really look at the land, it may be, oh my gosh, that. No.
You really want access on Trans Mountain and Paseo del Norte. Paseo del Norte is going to be a huge, huge street. That's a main arterial.
High school, you normally have it on an arterial.
Yeah.
And not highway. So an arterial like Paseo del Norte would be okay. With maybe your A street for the front of the school, not aligning. The A street is the front of the school. Mm-hmm. The C street is the back of it. So maybe Paseo del Norte can be the C street of your school, and your A street be.
The problem with that is, since it goes north and south, it crosses along all those arroyos, and those mm-hmm. arroyos, that's hard to build up against.
Right.
It's very hard to just go up against. They're naturally let go essentially.
And see, that's another thing why we were talking about this is because if we go first. And look at the PSB, because what we're afraid of is that a developer will come in and they're going to say, here's 20 acres, and the 20 acres they give us, it's going to cost a fortune to do the, you know, earthwork on it. And so we have to be, so anyways, but it sounds like that you'd like us to at least explore that option.
Well, there's some options.
I think we need 100 acres of land up there.
I think what we ought to do is we need to get Aaron, Dominic, Dr. Galaviz, and Martha, and Edgar out there to look at these sites and propose something for the high school, elementary.
Can you fly?
And
high school and elementary, I think.
Can you fly? Can somebody fly over?
At least the high school and elementary. Because once we can convert Reyes to middle school, we'll have those three out there.
But don't you think we need to look forward, Serge, and get as much as we can?
Yeah, if we can, yeah. But it, but I'm thinking at least those two sites, the high school and the elementary site.
A large high school.
Absolutely, I do think so. I agree with you. We need to get a high school site.
And we're going to need another elementary even as well.
Elementary. Yeah, no.
And another middle school probably,
too. The thing is, though, if we, you know, what, how much money this is going to cost, is that's
well, you know, they can just
we want to send the letter out. We want to send the letter out and then do the proposal, then do a bond proposal so we can buy land and finish whatever other things that are
a donation.
Yeah.
We're going to need two elementaries.
Yeah.
We're
exactly,
need two
elementaries, Martha. Yeah.
Yeah. Further, one further north.
Yeah. This one. Fills the middle school, so it's almost like a self.
It was so timely. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It was by the hair of his chinny chin chin, if I'm not mistaken.
But no, we just talking in the past couple of months, and that's why we're bringing in all the developers, and not necessarily for an open forum, that's not the issue, is that they need to know what I just said to the other gentleman here. It takes us 3 to 6 years to prepare and build a school. That's if we have the land. Mm-hmm. It can take us longer than that if we don't have the land. So it's kind of what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And here we're going to have this planning. So this is trying to get everybody in the room just to talk to them and say, we're here, and you are developing land, and we need to be an active participant in this because they have to have schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to talk to us, and you have to talk to us continually, and you have to give us updated information. You know,
we're the only ones suffering this, because where else in the city are they developing at this pace?
Horizon.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, they said.
They're building out 5,000 homes at a lot? I don't think so.
Well, yeah.
That was a few years ago. That's done.
No, they still are.
Not at 5,000 homes at a clip.
And I hate to tell you.
Think 5,000?
Really?
I won't make you say wait.
But we ought to do this soon.
June 6th.
Well, I'm just saying is that
January 16th.
January.
She likes to move that.
We need to start having the sites take a look at, so we can send a letter as soon as possible.
I think you all ought to take a flight over if you can fly. And fly over and look. And
can we get somebody with?
We can just get a topographic map on Google Earth.
There's a bunch of them. They're always over my house.
Yeah.
So, with your all's permission, I'd also like to explore the possibility of working with the PSB in the city to see if they can donate the land or us for a dollar or something like that. It's some kind of deal.
We're not going to do it, but
position where they own most of the land in the district.
And that truly, this district has sent them letters. We've sent them pleas in the past that we've been hurt by all their land holdings, and this could be the recompense for all the hurt they've caused us.
Yeah, they were very upfront saying that, of course, they would come to us.
And the higher we go, though, is going to be the more expensive.
How do they determine
this little section here?
That
might not be bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
2251.
It was mentioned that those 74? What's going through the middle is the
section right here.
They decided that instead of just
dry, that might not be so bad.
Like they would leave a lot of open space.
That's perfect for high school.
That would be a better high school. And it's still leave that over for like
those elevated levels that are on the other side.
So if you notice, there's 3 or 4 strips of development, and that's it for all that area. Instead of just developing like the whole map, they're only going to do those.
They're going to leave the mountains and the arroyos.
And they have to by plan for El Paso, correct?
Yes.
Other option, rather option, this is conforming to El Paso.
Yeah.
Because it has that arterial, and you have the high school access. You take both of these sections, and you still leave the.
But and we did look at
that way. You're not so high up that you're taking up their high value.
Yeah, they. Well,
you don't want to be high up because it's going to cost us on the development.
Well, if they're going to donate, they're going to give
but
us.
But high up, too, brings us bigger dollar homes.
I mean, we, oh, they're going to be up there anyway.
We should just have administration look into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, we wanted, Aaron has done a great job, and what we're going to do is, and we looked at, he looked at all the property that's in Canutillo's that we're holding right now, and the acreage that we're holding right now. And what we're going to look at is how useful that acreage is or how not useful that acreage is. And that's another thing we'll be talking about on January 16th.
Because they might say, sure,
January 16th or January 11th?
Don't get me going again.
June 6th?
Mr. Chairman.
June 16th.
Don't you think that's an awful large meeting?
You need that.
No, but it, you know what? It's yes, it is. But
are you going to have it
here? To be absolutely honest with you, things are progressing at such a rate. If we don't get to be a player.
Oh, I know.
And if we don't get to look at it longitudinally on what was going to do, then we have to get our pinheads in here and look at what are we going to need
in 20 years?
In projected... if I can get through the next 3 years without having a heart attack because there's so much coming at us, I will feel as a complete network failure if we have not given you a plan to say this is what you must do, and it will be that plan. Now, and then you're going to come back and say, Annette, I don't like it, but at least you're going to I'll be able to give you something that says, you know what? We have to be very strategic in what we do. We have to be very strategic in the money that we're looking at. We have to be, this is one huge community. Guys, this is not the only community coming in.
Guys, the other thing is, in order for us to do that and get on our planning deal, we got to get that five-year plan out.
Mm-hmm. At least a five-year.
I mean, that's got to be,
that's
got to be the first thing. And let's identify for now those sites
and I think,
with the PSB.
Aaron's presented that to Cabinet, and
we
we're moving forward with the development.
We've got to get that five-year plan, guys.
It should always include the developer. That's the first time we've had a developer in here.
Exactly. So I think now the
that's the first time.
The district's in a better position now. Now the developers are coming here. They're coming to us. They're asking for our feedback. Now we have first dibs on which parcels of land we want. So I think
we're being proactive. We're trying to
thank God.
Exactly.
But, you know, we're trying to be proactive. We're trying to push the envelope a little bit. The bottom line is there's going to be some things that you're not going to like to hear, but we're going to have to look at something that we have to come up with a plan.
You want to go Super 7.
All right.
We have a question. If you guys get one of these parcels of land, are you getting this land and you absolutely have to build a high school on it? And within a certain amount of years?
No.
No, there's no obligation.
No, there won't be an obligation.
No, they're just earmarking it.
You can get the land and warehouse it. You don't have to put anything on it.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
We have to have a projected growth. And we can't, we're not in the land business.
That's
not what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you have to tell the developer, I'm going to put a high school on this spot for X amount of years?
No.
When he's marketing his land, he can say there's going to be a high school here.
The growth has to be there for us to build that. So there's no obligation on our part once we buy it.
So we need some money.
I'm real worried about that, guys. So, but what we're trying to do, and I told Martha about that, and I told Martha about the January 16th, and yes, that will be the first of meetings, but, you know, with Aaron going there and me putting it on the GIS and getting the projection models put into the formula, that maybe we can finally have something that we can give you, and that has to be updated, you know, every 6 months, that you'll be saying, okay, that look at this is the rollout, this is what they initially said they're coming in at. Guess what? This one developer is short 50 homes. This other developer, guess what? There's 100 homes more than we projected. So you're going to have those kind of things, but at least you'll hear it. We'll put it on the map, we'll go into it, geocoding, we'll get it, and then we can start giving you a much more succinct value. Okay. And it's like we just have to work in unison, and then we all have to work together, because this is the next 3 to 6 years is critical.
It is critical.
Right, with all the development that's going up, that's planned right now, that's actually being built, It should be completed within the next 6 years, and it's over 5,000 homes. That does not include what I just showed you.
That doesn't include what you said.
So now
do you see why I'm awake?
So it's a lot.
Or does it? It probably doesn't include that 129 acres this other man just came in.
It does not.
So what I'm saying is that's even without that, we're expecting 5,000 homes.
I wonder where they think all these people are coming from.
For the meeting of the January meeting, you can maybe present a recommendation to the board about which parcels are. Once you've identified them, maybe on one of the weekends we can go take a look at where those might be, or sit down in a workshop and try and look at those.
But what I'm hearing is that we are. Absolutely. What I'm hearing is that we are going to ask right now is that what we would like. Is this a discussion? No, wait. Okay, so it's not there.
We're not there yet.
So then we will ask for that, probably, hopefully in January, that we can ask that this, that we're looking
at. Yeah, what's their time frame, Aaron?
They're going to put it out for bid. They said earliest March, but most likely summer 2008.
Okay, we need to do it in January then.
They just want to know if we're interested.
Yeah, we're interested.
We need to send that letter out in January.
Did you send the letter?
Yeah, well, we have to identify the parcels in that letter.
No, we have to identify those parcels.
The letter's already sent. Now we just have to identify where.
No, right. we sent the letter saying that we'd like to negotiate. And now, so at least we're on their
radar.
Now we identify for a dollar. Yeah,
we said we want the land. Now they said tell us which parcels, and then
we'll find out the percentage so we can discuss how much it would be.
I'm thinking two or three sites.
We're gonna try. You give them a cost of how much we've lost in taxes that they haven't paid, and say, look.
That's what I'm saying.
You draw up an analysis about how much they've owed that they haven't, that they've been freeloaders. Yeah. And they're not willing to negotiate when we want to be the new ones.
How much has potentially been considered?
Potential.
I don't know.
How long have they owned that land?
They know.
I guess within our letter, kind of discuss the fact
that we have been at a loss.
This has been revenue.
They know. Trust me. They know.
With Aaron's skills, and I will, and you know, I'll practice some Irish diplomacy.
Thank you. I don't know they had it.
I will, but I can't believe it. It's not on.
Talking.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next.
Thank you, Aaron. Oh, another fun one, the audit.
Audit.
We're down here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to move around a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Annette. What's the date of the meeting, Annette?
Thank
you, Laurie. Back
my head.
Is this your
page?
Yes, ma'am. No, I've got that already.
You have one?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
It's all yours. You know, I remember it being busier last year for some reason.
Huh?
I remember it being busier last year. I know that we had other things on our plate.
Yeah, but it was busier. It was busier. Well, yeah. Because we were going through.
Imagine how many special meetings we had?
Yeah, we were going through.
Meeting after meeting after meeting?
We were going through a lot of.
Híjole. Good times then.
Seems like 5 years ago.
It does seem like.
Doesn't it?
And I'm sure with your campaign.
So you're not required to resign?
No.
It's only paid city officials.
Yeah, and JPs are on a different level too.
Okay.
JPs have more.
You can't do both, but you can do.
You can actually, I can even serve on the community college board.
So you could still be on the school board?
I don't know about school board, but community college board, yes.
Okay.
But I need to take a look at that and see. But JPs are.
If you get off?
Yeah.
We're going to lose all your experience.
Well,
you know it's going to hurt.
I'll be around.
You'll be around, please.
But JPs are totally different animal because even if it's an office of emolument under the Constitution, mm-hmm. JPs have a certain, you can serve in dual offices.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. With JPs. A lot more than any other position.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right.
Item C, audit presenter, Mr. Rodriguez. Item 1, CHS newcomer audit and TDA check.
All right.
Good evening, board members. Dr. Galaviz. At the beginning of the CAP monitoring process, we had 57 items that we were tracking. And so now we're down to 4 items that I'm tracking currently. And I'll just, instead of going through all the ones that, you know,
you've completed
status updates, I mean, I think it would just be easier just to concentrate on the 4 that are remaining.
Let Ms. Brigham do that.
Do that.
Thanks.
She's going to help with one of them.
Oh, okay.
And so there was training related to ex-lab students that still was pending.
Mm-hmm.
The training was provided to special ed personnel. Now the only training that's remaining is to provide it to the ALPAC members. There was to make sure that, you know, the campuses knew that it was priority, there was an email that was sent out by Ms. Brigham to the principals notifying them that the ALS director was going to be contacting them to schedule these campus trainings so all the ALPAC members at each campus could get trained. The notice is supposed to go out this week from the ALS department, and all these campus trainings are supposed to occur the first, the second week that we come back from the break, and if not, try to get everything done by in the month of January. So that's the plan for this one here. This is one of the items that TEA said that we needed to complete when they came and visited the district. The next one is related to the PGPs, and so when we began our analysis of the high school, there was 600 some students that were required to have a PGP. I've kind of been monitoring that list, and so there's 51 students that I sent out to the high school that I needed a status update on. Once they provide me that status update, we can compile the list and then send that list to TEA, and then they're going to select the sample. And then I'll work with the campus to get all the documentation that they want from your selected sample, and then hopefully that'll be it. And hopefully they'll be okay with the documentation that they receive.
Okay.
The next one is it's related to developing CUME folder procedures, and Annette and share some information on that.
What we've done is we have went online, we have a checklist, we're modifying the checklist, we've got input from every registrar and office manager across the district. We have developed an audit that we're going to have an audit plan for them that we're going to be going out and checking to make sure that the protocol is handled, like when a child enters in County TOISD, that record, that transcript, that student record, that CUME folder follows the child with the cohort. And then, you know, and then we're going to say these are the things that we expect to find in the student records, because you wouldn't believe the stuff that we found in student records or not found in student records. So we're creating a checklist. I'm also working on, I just told Hector, I think I got about 4 sentences done today on the regulation. But my goal is to have the regulation written this week so that I can bring it to cabinet and then we can start our audits in January.
Great. No questions?
Lori?
No.
I want to see a report in February.
On what?
I want to see if we went out and every single from this year in terms of the out of country, it shouldn't have been a lot of them, right? In terms of, I want to see the consistency in the out of country credits
Okay.
I want to see the grade reclassifications throughout the year in February, right before the testing comes up, and who has been reclassified and why.
Okay.
I'd like to see that. Because if we can show at that point.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very timely time to do that, too, because if February is like the cutoff when we have for coming into our spring testing.
Right.
So we have that information. So out-of-country credits that have been
I want to
granted,
see that our plan, not only that it's been implemented and stuff, but it's working.
Okay.
And I want to see the consistency in terms of that. And I don't know if maybe, you know, if people don't believe us or stuff, we maybe get another external audit to check us to say, hey, look, somebody else did it, checked us.
It's a good idea.
Here you go. It's not us telling you.
Mr. Chairman.
That's maybe down the road we can talk about doing that. But
okay. So out-of-country credits that have been granted.
And the other thing is the Learning Center. Those
like
credit.
How they've been to make sure that the learning credit.
The little mini masters
have been put on the transcripts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just real quick, what I was trying to go back and looking at the audit plan where we're at and what needs to be done. I know you talked about PGPs, you talked about some of the other stuff. What I would like to see is get an update. The board, and I don't think we would have a problem. We said in the past is. Let's make sure we get that done so we could get that within that year and say, okay, we've completed all this. And so what I would like to see is a report in January saying, okay, this is where we're at on the PGPs. Hopefully we're completely done. But if you need those extra resources, I don't think, looking at that they get done. And then I think that's a good idea to looking at even possibly somebody else coming in, because TA is just going to come and rubber stamp it. Where is there any possible, I guess, where can we look at some of the areas to improve or something, looking at what we've done?
And I think after we do our preliminary reports, maybe towards the end of the year, we can talk about maybe doing something like that.
We agree.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
No.
All right.
Y'all have done a really good job.
Excellent.
You know, I want to give, I guess it's recording, so I can't deny it later.
Here, let me point it towards you.
What we do now is, I was just telling Nick that we have this template, and we use that template now in PEAMS when we do, you know, we do it from TEA, and I say, use HECA's template. Then we have another problem, you know, not a problem, we have a challenge with the master schedule. We use HECA's template. So he has been working very hard, and so I do appreciate it. And we've done a lot. We've done a lot together, and he says he's a taskmaster. He most certainly is, but that's what we need. So it's been 99% of the time pretty good. So I applaud.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. A lot of work this past year. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Next item.
Item 2, hotline update.
So I'd like to give you some reasons as to the hotline. And so we have one that's still in progress for March. In October, there was one that is still in progress, and then two that have been closed. And for the month of November, there are two that are in progress and three that have been closed. So overall, the work that was completed this past month, five have been closed and four are still in progress. Does anybody have any questions about specific reports?
No.
Lori, questions on the hotline?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Hector. Next item.
Item B, finance, presented by Mrs. Aguirre. Item 1, district financials for November 1st to the 30th, 2013.
Marcia?
Good evening. I do have some inserts. When we ran the financials, the earnings had not been posted. So we ran them after the earnings so that the numbers changed a bit. I also provided you with a copy of our expenditures. as you are aware, our we had a target timeline of the 13th to expend 65% of state comp ed funds and all the other special programs. And so I'll start with discussing the revenues, and then I'll move into the spreadsheet related to the expenditure timeline. So you review the financial statements, which are related to funds 199. We have in revenue collections of $14 million, which is the exact same amount we had, coincidentally, with a couple thousand dollars difference, same time last year. And as I've mentioned in the past, December, January will be our largest, months of our largest revenue deposits through the property tax collections. As far as our expenditures, at this time, closing November, we are at $8.2 million in expenditures with the high school allotment and local funds. Our expenditures as far as our state comp ed funds are at $694,000 compared to last year, this time, $888,000. So if you take a look at this handout that I provided, what I did, the very first sheet relates to the state comp ed specifically, and you'll see that there's green columns. Those green columns are related to actual salaries that we're paying out of the state comp ed funds. At this point, we should be seeing those rates at about 36%. And again, this is because on a monthly basis, we're expending the salaries. The blue section is, this first page is the comparison of all programs, and then I do have a detailed one in the back. I apologize. So the state comp ed funds here, you'll see by campus the expenditure levels, which none are nearly close to the 65% that they had to be at this point. If you see the middle section, the blue, which we also call other state programs, CNI, which is a GT program, the CTE program, the SPED and bilingual, you'll notice that GT is at 63%. They have actually spent all their operating budget. What's remaining is a salary of the GT coordinator that will run through the end of the school year. CT&E is at 42%. CT&E also has a large amount of stipends that are paid out, and so that's going to offset that expenditure. Special ed, they're at 32%, and again, there we've got a lot of salaries, mainly salaries, and of course the stipends that are going to affect the expenditure rate. And then the bilingual ed, same situation, more stipends that are paid out in salaries than any other operating expenses. Then the last columns are the Title I Part A funding. And they also, as you can see, the only campus, or actually it's a department and a CNI that has actually expended the required set. They expended 75, it should be 65. The next page of that gives you a budget versus actual, and it shows you the expenditures for the different programs that they need to be. For example, Title I is the pink and the red. And you can see that they are at $980,000 expended. They have a total of $2.4 million to expend. All the other state programs, which would be CT&E, GT, SPED, and bilingual, they need to get to the 6.5 mark, and they are currently at the 2.3 mark. And again, we've got through June 30th, but we've got some upcoming target timelines that I'll share a little bit about the approach to those timelines. And then the purple section is the state comp ed funds. They need to have expended $2.6 million by end of fiscal year, and they're at $722,000 right now. On the next page, this is the one that's specifically to state comp ed. The purple section of the purple columns are personnel budgets. That's where I stated that they need to be at approximately 36% because of salaries and the way they encumber. So that's where you see the purple columns. The green columns are the ones that we are concerned about because that is the money that the campuses have at their discretion to use for operating instructional costs. And so those are the numbers that we're going to target because that's what they have in control. And so as you can see, Northwest has met their target. They're at 67%. There's several, most of the elementary campuses are at the 40% mark, but you can see the secondary campuses, they're under the 20%. A lot of them have communicated with us, and we will have a formal process where they send a, they'll be receiving a letter stating what their target must be and where they are, requesting that they give us an explanation as to how their plan of action will be to meet their deadlines before the hearing as set by the finance department.
The elementaries are doing well.
They're better. They're better off. They didn't make the, I'm sorry, they didn't make the 65%, but a lot of their funds are set into academic tutors, which, you know, that's a progressive plan where they every month they'll have salary costs associated with that. At this point, they didn't allocate any money to summer school from the SCE funds. However, that's like the last, that is like the one last, the cushion that we work on. If they still have remaining funds, we earmark them for summer school. The blue columns are the IT budget. And when I say IT budget, is Tony is working with campuses to upgrade or do the placement cycle of technology that is needed at the campuses. And so there's a $200,000 budget there. I know that I've seen a lot of the emails coming and going, and he's getting ready to bring it to the board for approval so that we can go ahead and move forward with those purchases. And so overall, as you can see on the yellow columns, we are at a 27.7% expenditure rate. And so again, it's important to note that the green section is what the campus is responsible for expending. The purple, it's a gradual progress because of the fact that there are salaries that are paid out of state combat. Any questions?
Adrian, Lori?
Well, I guess my only question is the obvious. You're
communicating.
Compelling them was more of a word.
You've highlighted those in red that are right at, are really short.
Yes.
And have you sent them?
Because the deadline was the December 13th was the timeline. This week we're preparing those letters. I'm going to meet with Dr. Alavis and Ms. Brigham. I think it's important that we bring them in after the holiday, sit down with them and say, okay, this is where you are. What is your plan?
Saturday school?
That
a little Irish hospitality.
Yes, please.
Tutoring. I will mention that Anna went out to the high school. Mr. Coronado reached out and asked, you know, we've been communicating the importance of let's expend these funds, but the request of for the items and supplies requested were not appropriate for the state comp ed funding. So what we did, and I should say we did, Anna went out there last week, met with the chairpersons that each department, sat with them, shared documentation, gave them ideas, suggestions as to what is appropriate to spend out of the state comp ed fund. And so part of our discussion will be if other campuses want us to go out, and we always meet with administration and office managers. Let's bring in the teachers, the ones that are in the classroom, so that those department chairs have a better understanding of the program. And so that's all I have as far as the expenditure timelines.
Even between the middle schools, I guess really the elementaries, like Lori pointed out, except for CES.
Right.
And then the two middle schools are really, really.
They're really behind.
Yeah.
And I do know that at CES, Ms. Burton has been meeting with Ms. Melendez to help her out in moving those funds out. But we'll keep working at this.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, we're going to have conversations with them this week.
Okay.
We just got this on Friday. So now we know. Now we can.
I mean,
well, that's a good bit of tracking because in the past we'd find out that we had budgeted this stuff for stuff like, you know, whatever, and then we found out they weren't getting up till later in the year, weren't using them. And then when they bought them, then we'd find out when we did a check on them, they weren't even using them towards the end of the year. It's like.
I know, it's time for a bit.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll talk. Sometimes
okay.
Even the paradigm
is how you can spend it. And you can spend it that way, but they've never done it.
Right.
So it's not that you can't spend it. So it's that conversation between the finance department and the elementary or the school, because they're saying no. Well, how do you, you know, let's ask. So that's, those are conversations that we're having too.
Okay. Thank you, Martha.
Okay. As far as the, do you want me to continue? I mean, there isn't much change. I will note that we've got the PIM snapshot numbers, and we are about, the snapshot read at, came in at, with enrollment of 5,990. Our projections had been at 6,240.
That's quite a bit of difference.
Right. And so we'll...
Have we reserved out on the projections? Are we backing them, those out of the budget?
That's the next step. And the only discussion I need to have with Dr. Galaviz and the board is that if we pull from instruction, then our administrative cost ratio even gets larger. So
But that's what we're going to end up next year.
Right.
So I'd rather see it now.
We'll begin that process so that I can present to cabinet next month in January, and then move forward with the reductions. I will note that in transportation, where we were projecting and had been receiving $653,000 per year, I reviewed the summary of finances, and right now we're at $401,000. So that is another area that I'm going to have to consider.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, because then the recapture is going to take longer, and it's going to hurt it.
Yes.
So, okay.
And I did speak with Ms. Earls this morning, and so I'm working on her questions.
Questions? Okay.
But I do have another question that I didn't ask you, Martha, and it's really an important question.
Okay.
I have not seen this on our warrant list at all, is our water taxes, and they should have been paid last month, and I don't see where they are.
They have not been
paid, and I know that we fell behind a couple of years ago, and we caught up. I don't want to fall behind.
I want to say I saw it, but I'll look. I'll go and
please
see where
check
we are.
To yes. make sure that. I mean, it's a simple phone call. Mm-hmm. We pay it or not. The other thing I'd like to ask you, I spoke to you, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago. We received a really nice write-up, how we were going to get $17,000 back. Did we ever get it?
We have not received that, and the only question that we had was whether it was going to come January. I think when we discussed it, but I can follow
just
up with
just keep...
What was
there
it?
Was a, it was from Johnson Controls, but not really from them.
It's a...
It's like a grant...
I'll look at it.
...sort of thing, but it's $17,000. It was a lot of money.
He did mention that when I voted no. So we're doing that.
So I just wanted to, you know, keep that on the radar, because you and I figured out we think it's coming in January.
Right, based on that newsletter you read. Yeah.
That, you know, we get it, and that's A, but B, that these water taxes are paid, so we can, you know, start.
I'll verify. Like I said, I do remember seeing them come in, and I handed it over. I'll verify.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you.
Next item.
Agenda item E, purchasing, presenter Mr. Gatlin.
Excuse me?
Or do you want me to read?
Just one at a time.
Good evening, committee chair Coronado, committee members, Dr. Galaviz. I have placed before you tonight 9 items for your review and possible recommendation for approval by the full board tomorrow evening. And at this time, I'll entertain any questions you might have on these items.
Lori?
I don't have a one. I'm fine with
that. Adrian?
None at all.
I do. I'm not happy on the
sound system. Item 2.
I'm not happy. I looked at the details of it.
Is it robust enough?
I just don't see it, Doc. With three speakers?
With a source.
Three $1,000 speakers, and the rest of it is the... You know, we allotted enough money so that we get it right this first time, and we don't have to deal with this again.
I'm really...
This should not be a stopgap. This should be a solution.
Yeah.
That was Mr.
I'm not... I mean, not that
Jeffrey's
I'm...
Jeffrey's picking up?
Yeah, that's Jeffrey.
Maybe I'm not seeing it or something, but I don't see it. Convince me that I... That this is... What I see is three speakers for $1,000 and we're spending $60,000. Granted, we need the components. I get it. I don't want the same thing to happen with this sound system again that happened from 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Jeffrey and the HB customer reps, we met and...
A couple of times, yes.
Yes, Mr. Jeffries felt that they had done a thorough
you want us
review.
To get someone...
And this is the same that they used at Socorro.
He wanted us to mirror Coronado.
Sorry?
He wanted us to mirror Coronado on that one. Coronado High School, their auditorium. Have you ever been there? That one's, you know, decent.
So. I don't want, guys, you know, I don't want it to be just adequate. This needs to be, we've spent money before and we've
and
thrown it away.
Not.
I don't want to see this up again. This needs...
So, would you, you know what? Because I guess what we can do is contact the facilities department at EPIS and see how they went about that upgrade. Because I don't know how to, I guess we started...
And I may be wrong, guys, but I'm just telling you, I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Another pair of eyes on it? See if it's...
Yeah, well,
yeah, I have no problem doing that.
I mean...
No problem doing it. Because we did feel... You know, that's what we brought in, the people we brought in. Because
and are the speakers dispersed throughout the auditorium?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Get a second opinion, maybe? Just call a whole different company and say, come tell us what you want to do here.
Okay.
But
how would that be, Sergio? And
did anybody go take a look at, or actually listen to that sound system over there?
Yes.
Who?
We did. Oh, no, these people.
I mean, us.
The one at Coronado?
Anywhere.
I've been to the one at Coronado.
And I've been to the one at Socorro, so that's what.
And is that what we're getting?
Probably not.
You know, I...
Well, this is... Remember, I do know what had happened, and we did get it. You know, we you asked us to look at something that would come in under $100,000. And that's what we were going for, too. I mean, it was... You know, we got a direction from the board saying we're not to spend $100,000 and to look at this. So we did pull these people in, but I have no problem. Now, the other estimate that we had that was looking at it was about seven times as much, but they were going in getting everything, and we didn't have that kind of money. So, but I understand what you'd like. I have no problem with getting another pair of eyes looking at it. I think it'd even make us feel better.
To tell you the truth, I don't think those speakers are sufficient.
These are adding more speakers, yeah.
The ones we have now are horrible. We're keeping those?
Well, they're doing something with them.
I was just at the auditorium last week.
Oh, I know. It's terrible.
It's horrible, guys.
We've been there. I go there, you know, a couple of times a year. I agree with you, sir, Mr. Gordon. Absolutely.
I feel something for the community, ashamed. When I show up there,
and
the auditorium was completely full last week for our music program. The music program performed excellent, and we had some areas where our sound system just failed them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr.
I don't want to see that at all, and I don't think this
we'll
does it.
I'm really having
doubts about. And I thought the board had made it very clear since last year.
Well, you know what?
Because we experienced the same thing last year.
Yes. We did get it. You know, I thought.
I don't know that you did. I really don't. I'm sorry, but I really don't.
Our stadium didn't have.
Well,
yeah.
We do have a quote for those.
For that
and he indicated that with the stadium, it's about aligning the speakers, but we do have a quote for the stadium. It's under the $10,000, and so.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm really concerned about the auditorium, though.
Yeah.
That's the worst one.
Yep.
Oh, it is. We'll go ahead and get another call.
Are the speakers being replaced?
I think that's the route I'm going to take, because I don't know.
You know, the speakers on the side of the stage, are those being replaced, and then we're adding others?
Adding.
Those aren't being replaced?
I'm going to check right now. I think they are, but I will double check. We'll take it down.
And if those don't get replaced, we put new speakers, and then we keep those old that are still going to sound horrible.
Mr. Chair, can
yes.
Did we go out for RFP? We went in with a...
We want a quote. They're on the Region 19 bids.
Okay. I don't know if you all recall, but in the conference that, I think it was Wing or something, where that's where they perfect it. That's a professional, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that we get, I guess, 3 or 4 individuals that know within that type of industry what is the actual, whether it's a performing art, like that they have background when it comes to that.
Yeah, we'll have to go outside El Paso, but that's absolutely fine, because then we could look at those.
And I think long term it would be kind of neat to look at. Do you recall
the practice rooms? Dr. Gallup, he said those in Round Rock.
And what we did is we brought Jeffries there. We brought Mr. Jeffries, and I think, to my understanding, is there's very limited expertise here, and we would have to fly someone in with that expertise, because...
Yeah.
Well, I can start with APISD and see if they have a certain... company, program, somebody and then we'll just ask the Foro and then go from there. We'll contact that other. I just didn't know where, that's...
Well, I may be wrong, guys, but I...
No, we'd rather make it.
I don't see it.
You don't think a Bose 101 system will get it?
Well, that's what I was hoping we were going to get.
We could have no problem.
I got a Bose Wave we can use.
Couple of them, right?
I mean, because we're spending that money and we're getting 3 speakers that are $1,000 each. Guys, I don't see it.
I think it needs to be higher. I don't know about more of anything. But
well, the quality speakers, the quality needs to be up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're JBLs and stuff, but did we look at anything else?
They did have another company that you provided where the curtains will be purchased from.
Texas Scenic Company?
Yes. But I believe this is who he works with, to do the system maintenance or upgrade or whatever work he does for the sound system. This is a company he works with, and that may have been the reason why he said...
We'll go back to the drawing board.
I think, everybody in that auditorium needs to hear the sound. Whether they're in the back or whatever, it needs to come at the same time, and it needs to be, because it's not happening, guys. And I don't know that this is the solution. And I don't want to spend any more money down the road to say, hey, 5-6 years ain't happening anymore, and then we spend more money. Or we'll have to spend a lot more money. I don't want to spend this money. We need to get it right.
No problem.
I may be wrong, but
no, you're right.
I just don't see it.
Beyond my expertise. So
yes.
We'll bring people in.
All right.
We can try again.
But who put the sound system over at Coronado and Socorro that y'all are...
HB put in Socorro.
HB?
Yes.
So have we even gone to take a look at it and it's exactly the same thing?
They went.
Who?
They're the ones that put it in.
Yeah, who went?
And then I just went and heard the sound. But, I'm not a sound expert, but...
Well, maybe we need to go. Maybe the board needs to go.
Get the best sound.
I don't know.
No, you don't. We got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Board can do best management. Board can do board stuff.
All right. Okay. All right, guys.
Tell us how you feel, Dr.
I wanted Chris. This is we shortchange our kids, our programs when we don't.
And it's such good PR.
It's just, I don't want, actually, guys, I don't want it like Socorro or Coronado. It needs to be better than that. Have we made the point?
No, I'm just saying is that we may fly somewhere at a performing arts.
I just don't want to shortchange our kids. Because I was at that auditorium. They are, our programs are really
beautiful.
And there's, and that sound is lacking, and that's our fault. That's our fault. Okay. Anybody else, any questions?
No,
Lori?
We got it.
Good.
Okay.
So we're going to recommend everything but item 2. Is that correct?
Yes.
How'd
you
go? It might be the acoustics, too. I mean, if we got a
question. It could be, but
question on number 7, though.
Yes, sir. If that's what it probably is.
Adrian?
Tony?
Tony?
I always got to get you out. Come on now.
Mando, my deal is always is 2 speakers of the same quality are better than 1. Mm-hmm. And 3, I don't think, cut it for this large auditorium.
You take the one out of the back of my car.
3 $1,000 speakers.
Mm-hmm.
For 800 people? I know, but
got to drop down a disco ball.
I know, but
Tony, on number 7, the server upgrade, what does Presidio provide?
This is the upgrade from version 4.1 to 5.5 in VMware.
Okay.
We had the hardware, but the version that we have,
the software was outdated.
Won't support that hardware.
Okay. It wasn't very obvious in the details. I'm like, what is this? You know, so, okay. That was my only question. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Anybody else? Lori?
Lori's already ready to go. Look at her.
Nope. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Next item.
I saw one, but it was just a PDF.
Community input?
Community members?
Anyone?
On the website, they have the donation.
Lili? I saw that. No.
Is that okay? Or did you want more?
It was just a PDF. I don't know if that's effective.
We're talking about the need for for new schools,
yep.
Which means that another bond is probably inevitable, which therefore means that we need taxpayer support. Okay. And the issue that sitting here in the roundtable discussion, and I'm going to say it again, I've said it before, that we need to stop adding luxuries to these projects, which then go over the budget. Everything's already been over budget, as we know. But then when you keep adding luxuries, last time I called them jewels, to these projects, we continue to go over budget. We need to stick to the needs. And I'll give you 2 examples of what I saw tonight. The barn. You know, it was estimated when we got a tour of where it was going to be located, CBAC got a tour, $50,000 project to put a barn, shed, a barn on that property that was going to house the tractor. Now you're talking about having to take local funds because CT doesn't have enough of what it's going to cost for architect designs, for roads, for pavements, for bathrooms, for a classroom. You know, we have a perfectly fine classroom that they have that the agriculture department uses at the high school. We foresaw this to be to store the tractor, to do their harvesting of the bale, the hay, and all of this stuff. You know, why do they need an additional, and not an additional classroom, but why do you need to go overboard and make this a luxury where now they're talking, you know, 2 bathrooms or bathrooms, whatever, the plumbing to go for the bathrooms. You're just raising the costs. The classroom can be in the field, hands-on, because that's where they learn, hands-on. If he needs to give a PowerPoint or whatever, I mean, I don't know, use the barn. But I don't really see why you need to use local funds for, Ms. Aguila talked about a road and pavement and things like that, that the front needed to be over here instead of over here. Why? Why? Is that a need? The need was just for a barn to house the tractor where they were going to be. I can see the overship that Ms. Massey spoke about for the bale, the hay that's been baled. I can see that, but I can't see everything else. use what CT has there, because then later they're going to be ending up paying for it because they're not going to have that money allocated type thing when you take away. So that's one example. The other one, I'm going to go back to the outdoor eating area at the high school. And Mr. Earls, I brought this up over and over and over again. When we discussed those projects for the what was going to be on the bond project list, we talked about a canopy, kind of like what EPCC has, a canopy, a shade. You already have tables there. That's how we talked about. So now when the architect, the designer says, oh, it's going to be a what? A steel roof with windows and doors and all this blah, blah, blah. And then she said that it came before you all and that you approved it. Why? Why? Weren't we all on the same page as far as the vision? Because now you're going from $150,000 to $233,000. So my suggestion as a taxpayer is that I know that this is an alternate, then we're going to discuss it later, but my suggestion is that we go back to the original plan, even if the designer or the architect already designed it this way.
Say that again, Molly.
As a taxpayer, when we go back to discuss these particular items that are not on Bain's GMP's or this list, is that we go back to the original design themselves, the canopy, just the canopy. Even though the designer, the architect, already designed it to be a steel roof and enclosed. We're going to lose money there. But again, we're talking about having trust, or the taxpayers having trust in us, what we say we're going to do. You give them a projected, you know, what was the dollar amount for the bond? 11? What was it, for 2006?
Mm-hmm. Or
2006 bond.
2006 bond?
Mm-hmm. What was the cost? What was what we wanted the taxpayers to pay to pass it for? Dollar amount. This is a given? 2006.
2006, not 2011.
I'm sorry, 2011.
43.9.
Okay. And we said we're going to do this and this and this. A lot of items and projects have been cut. Mm-hmm. You want new schools built? We need to stick to our word, guys. It's easy to want the needs. I mean, to want all those wants, all those luxuries, but we have to have a reality check. You know, like you're talking right now, speakers. I can see that. But you know what? If somebody in the profession is saying this is what you need, this is what is adequate for what you have, you gotta have trust in that. You have to have trust. So it's a reality check that we need to stick to our guns and say, okay, this is what we need and no more. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Thanks, Lily.
Anybody else? That's it?
John? No.
All right.
Surprised.
On that note, we are adjourned.
Yes!
Happy holidays.
The time is 9:30.
I like the donations, but it should be on the homepage. It's about the board area.